Hi, I'm Stargate Pioneer.
And I'm Steven Jondrew, and we're from Better Podcasting, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the show you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of the individual host.
Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Everybody, and welcome to the Audibly
Exquisite Podcast, episode number 82. I'm Mike Norn with
Peter Melnick.
And Peter Melnick, tell the good folks at home what we're all about.
What Audibly Exquisite is all about is we are your one-stop source for all things geek culture, be it movies, television, video games, comic books, you name it.
We're gonna cover it.
And we're proudly brought to you by the Gunna Geek Podcast Network. Go to www.gunnageek.com. for plenty of geeky goodness. You can also find us on Patreon at patreon.com/audibly exquisite. And through a tiered variety of different perks, for as low as $2 a month to as high as $50 a month for 5 lucky listeners, you'll be able to help support this show. But also, like I said, patreon.com helps support the show that you are listening to in your ear holes right now. Also, you can find us on social media at facebook.com/audibly exquisite. You can find us on the Twitter at the AE Podcast. Myself at Peter Melnick, one whole word. Yourself,
Mike_Norin.
You can find us on Instagram at Audibly
Exquisite.
You can also find us on the worldwide interwebs at www.audiblyexquisite.com. And also, there's a wide variety of ways to download or stream this here fine program. You can find us on iTunes. Rate, review, subscribe, and share. 5-star if you're ever so inclined. We appreciate those little 5 stars. We like those flashing 5-pointed stars. Also, you can stream this show on TuneIn Radio, Stitcher Radio, Podomatic, and those are all available for all iOS and Android devices, good listeners. And once again, share this show with people. Let people know about this. Share it on social media. Let them know. And spread the word like Nutella.
I hate Nutella.
It's delicious. I can't eat it anymore. But anyway, so today is a very special episode. We are joined with a very special guest. We are with the creator of Terrificon and also the creator of the upcoming GamerCon in Uncasville, Connecticut. Both shows, by the way, will be held this year in the Mohegan Sun Casino and Resort, once again, in Uncasville, Connecticut. So, we are joined with the man who is a part of IndieCast and also Power Cosmic, good friend of the show, Mr. Mitch Halleck. Mitch, how you doing today?
Hey, man. I thought the show was the whole thing with the credits. There's still more to go? Whoa.
There might be. I mean, you know, we might have like a little Marvel Stinger scene at the end.
Right.
You know,
okay.
Nick Fury's going to come over here and he's going to be like, hey, guys, you got a good podcast. I'm not going to 5-star, but good podcast.
No, it was something. I was impressed. My goodness, man. I don't know if I think I've already listened to the show before I was even on it.
I know, right? It's an arduous chore, but we
got to do it.
Exactly. It's a dirty job, but someone's got to do it, to quote Faith No More.
I'm Mike Rowe.
I was thinking of Springsteen, but anyway.
Speaking of Springsteen, I'm on a big Springsteen kick, and I know you're a very big Springsteen fan as well.
Yes, so. I am. I'm listening to his autobiography in my car. I actually find reasons to get out in the car just to drive around and listen to Bruce tell me about his life.
You're listening to it through audible.com?
No, I was given actually the CDs for a Christmas present, so I'm old school. But I suppose if I wanted to, I could listen to Audible.
Because if you go to audibletrial.com/audibly,
exquisite,
you can get a free 1-month trial and an audiobook of your choosing from thousands upon thousands of audiobooks. Mitch is listening to the Bruce Springsteen autobiography. I'm listening to... anyway, Mike, yourself?
Why I Love My Family by Chris Benoit.
There we go.
So,
yes, go to audibletrial.com/audibly exquisite. And you can cancel at any time. But it helps support the show. Thank you for helping us find a way to sneak in an Audible trial plug, by
the way.
Shameless
plug there, boys. Wow.
Hell yeah.
If only I had known.
It saves us time, so we don't have to do it in the middle of the show, because we last
episode. I love good folks at Audible. I have many a time become a member of their thing under various names to get a free book and then listen to it and then cancel my free subscription. But that would be dishonest.
So oh, sorry. No, I mean, not you two. Sorry.
Pay the money, kids. Put somebody. I'm sure Mr. and Mrs. Audible have kids and mouths to feed, so don't be a Mitch. But no, it's a great service. I mean, and it's bad. If you can't even focus on a book that's being read to you, then you really, really have to reevaluate your life.
Audibletrial.com/audibly exquisite. So yeah, and you know, once again, go back to Bruce. Like, I'm a big Springsteen fan. Have you actually heard fellow podcaster Mark Maron's interview with him?
No.
Really, really good. Highly recommend checking that out.
Where would I find that,
Peter? You can find it on iTunes.com. Or not .com, but in the iTunes app.
Okay. I will do so. After we're done, I will go seek it out. I know Myron. He's a good guy.
He's so good. Like, he's actually part of the inspiration why I started my one show Move, which may or may not be making its grand return sometime this year. So
we can only wait.
Keep watching.
Why do I feel like I'm on Law? Was that the Law and Order sound effect back there? What was that?
Dun dun. All right, so basically on to today's topics.
Yes, sir.
A lot of stuff has happened in the past week.
Damn right, yeah.
First off, Mitch, I know since you're a little bit into the gaming scene because of, you know, a certain gaming convention called GamerCon, which, by the way, when is it happening?
That would be April 1st and 2nd at the Mohegan Sun, located in lovely Uncasville, Connecticut, put on by the producers of Terrificon, Connecticut's Terrific Comic Con, happening every August, also at the lovely Mohegan Sun. Would you be talking about that show?
I believe we would. Yes.
Okay, there you go. Yes, I know all about it. Yeah.
So, yeah, basically, you know, in the realm of gaming right now, Marvel and Square Enix announced a partnership that's going to be happening. Kind of cool to see this. A lot of us, myself included, were thinking this would be pertaining to the game Kingdom Hearts 3, which, as of right now, has been over 11 years in the making.
Yeah.
But since, you know, it's a game where it features Final Fantasy characters crossing over with Disney characters, Disney owns Star Wars, Disney owns Marvel. We thought it would be, you know, pertaining to that, like incorporating those characters. Nope. Marvel announced that Square Enix and themselves are going to be making a game, first off, devoted to the Avengers. Now, as a fan of the Avengers, as a fan of Square Enix as a company, I'm stoked for this.
Yeah.
Mike, yourself?
Yeah.
Mitch, yourself?
Yeah. Anything to get you into the realm of being an actual superhero is cool with me.
It's going to be really cool to see, like, especially from, you know, a technical standpoint, because they make breathtaking games. And
yeah,
if you have the Marvel budget behind it, there's going to be some phenomenal stuff.
I got to admit, I mean, I like video games most of the time just to watch the cutscenes.
Right.
Because I like watching the story. I'm like, I don't know how to play this great, but could somebody just cut to the chase and let me see what happens? I just want to watch the movie part.
My favorite, with this, I'm wondering how they're, you know, going to pull the story off and everything. Like, what do you think could be like a good story to do for a standalone Avengers game?
Oh boy, let's not do Infinity Gauntlet. That's in the movies. A good standalone adventure for the based on the comic books over the 40, 50 years of Avengers stories.
Yeah.
Huh. Let's see. What would be a good Avengers story? See, I'm old school because I'm old. I mean, there's a lot of stories that I read in the Avengers that I would love to see put out there. But I don't know if they could. You know which one was really well done? I'm going to tell you. There was a Marvel video game that came out years ago. They did two of them. But the first one where you went through the Marvel Universe, I can't remember the name of it. Marvel Alliance.
Ultimate Alliance. Mike and I were talking about that on the car ride.
That was the best because that – my kids would play that game, and I was like, because they were going deep, deep, deep cuts, and they were bringing like Galactus and Atuma, and they would be in Atlantis, and they would be in the Negative Zone. They would be in the entire world of the Marvel Universe, and my kids would be playing it. But for me, as a bystander watching it, I would get into it and geek out because I'm like, oh my God, look, there's the Ultimate Nullifier. And there were so many references to Marvel stories and epic tales that were in that video game. You got to play the game, but if you were a fan of Marvel Comics, it worked on a whole nother level. So if they managed to do a game like that, where they incorporate a lot of the storylines and a lot of the characters, and you're weaving throughout the entire history of the Avengers, then it would be super awesome. That's what I can say. Boil it all down into one big story.
myself, I mean, like with the Ultimate Alliance games, and first off, you know, a lot of people have said in the past they would love to see Ultimate Alliance 3 happen, which
I agree.
I'd love to see that happen, you know? There's still so many stories that, you know, these characters can do. I believe, didn't one of the Ultimate Alliance games do the Infinity Gauntlet? Because I know they did Civil War in that. Like, they tied multiple stories.
Oh, I forgot they did. You know, the second one I never got into. The first one I did, but the second one, for some reason, I don't know what it was. They changed developers and artwork or something. I just didn't like it as much as the first one. The first one was like a flash. Yeah.
The second one, they went for that whole like real world vibe kind of thing that the movies are doing. And but the first one was more zany, you know, really comic book heavy and stuff. You had guys like Ghost Rider and all that.
Silver Surfer. I didn't even bother finishing the second one. I think my kids gave up on it too. It just didn't appeal to us for some reason. It didn't have the same fun.
There's so much potential they can have with these games. Like, I mean, myself, I'm out of everything, honestly, while I'm excited for this, I'm more excited for the Marvel versus Capcom 4 or Infinity or whatever it's called.
Yeah, we were just talking about that the other day, too, because I posted it was 19 years ago that the first Marvel Capcom game came out. I was like, holy crap.
That's a classic.
I know, right?
And like, we're talking about it, and like immediately in my head, I just start hearing da na 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 da 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 da. Like the
I remember seeing Magneto up there fighting. It was like, oh my god, this is the greatest thing in the world. You know,
I mean, with like those games, like I'll still never forget number two as well. Two is a classic. You know,
yeah.
Like, I always loved the console version for the Dreamcast and the I guess the iOS version for the iPhone, because like what they did was they had everybody locked. Like, you know, it wasn't like everybody unlocked all at once. It was you had to earn these characters and quote unquote buy them with points. I'm like, that's awesome.
No. I didn't try the iOS version. Is it good?
It was good, because I believe they took it off the marketplace on there, so you can't even buy it anymore with the license.
Oh, really? Well, that sucks.
But like, it was, for what it was good. Like, I enjoyed playing it, and I'm not much of a touchscreen gamer, because I can't stand, you know, it's not that good.
I hear you.
But with that, I was playing it, like, you know, quite a while. And I mean,
well, back on the topic there. What are you expecting from it? I mean, visually, what do you think it's going to look like? Do you think it's going to look like some of those bizarre statues that I see at the GameStop, that like the Japanese anime versions of Captain America and all that? I hope not.
You know, for the Avengers game or for Marvel?
Yeah.
I could see them going for realistic, kind of.
Okay.
Like maybe
Movie versions, like, you know, the Chris Evans version, or like
maybe like a love child of that and the Kota Bushi. I think it's called Kota Bushi. Those figures.
Oh yeah.
That style. Like, it would be like a love child between that. Because for some reason, like that, like I think like they've been planting the seeds of this for a while. They just haven't said anything.
With the shading and stuff, like you see on like anime.
Yeah, type. I can kind of see that a little bit.
Huh.
Like, I mean, I'm kind of
what
happy.
What does this do? When are we supposed to see this in stores?
I don't know.
They didn't even announce it. They just showed like a little teaser clip. That was it.
Probably like a video game.
Yeah, that drives me nuts, because I'm like, I want to buy it. It was 6 months. Hey, we just ran into a problem with Tekken 7. One of the tournaments that we're going to have at GamerCon, because you could play games and win cash prizes up to $2,000 in some cases. One of the things is we plan on having a Tekken 7 tournament, because that was due to release in March. And then just last Friday, they came out and said, oh, well, we're not going to have it ready till like June. It's like, man, what the hell?
There's so much, you know, it's crazy with how, you know, they're setting everything up, though. It's like it takes forever, but it's
worth it. Yeah. I mean, I have no doubt the game's going to be awesome, but it's just one of those things. We were so looking forward to it. But what are you going to do? We're going to have Street Fighter V, and we're going to have Smash Brothers. What's that?
Wait, no. Injustice 2, when's that come out? That doesn't come out in time, right?
Oh, I don't think that's going to be out before April 1st and 2nd, but that's coming soon. I think that's out in June.
Yeah, I played the beta.
Oh, yeah? How was it?
It's still a little buggy, but from what I played, it's pretty cool. It's same controls as the last one, just, you know, a lot more new characters.
I love that one too. Again, I just love the storyline to that. I was like, oh my god, this is a great story.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, to the point they even made a comic.
I know, and it's still out there, because I see it when I go get my comics every week. They're still making that book.
And it's actually a really good title from what I've heard.
Oh yeah, well, yeah, I did get the first 12 issues. I didn't pick it up afterwards, because after a while, it's like, all right, well, you know, how much far are they going to go with this thing?
Swamp Thing had his own little run in it, too. It was cool.
Really?
Yep. Swamp Thing and Constantine.
No kidding.
I'd like to see a buddy cop movie with those two.
Now, that's actually a good pairing. You just said, I'm like, oh, that sounds it. I love when I hear stuff like that. I'm like, okay, I'll go out and get the trade. Again, I'm not helping my local comic shop because I'm not buying the floppies or the single issues, but I just want to read the damn story all at once. I hate waiting week to week. That, I blame Netflix for this, you know? Now you can binge read comic books. You just wait for the trade to come out. You don't buy it.
We actually had a friend of the show, Joe St. Pierre, on a few
weeks. Oh, yeah, Joe's coming on my show. Yeah. I just talked to Joe.
He was talking about how, you know, with DC. He was talking about how with DC they have, you know, the whole bi-weekly thing, and it's kind of like it helps with the, you know, the Netflix aspect of, you know, binge.
It does.
You don't
does.
Have to wait that long.
Yeah. I just noticed that with the Suicide versus Justice League. I picked up the first issue. I went back 2 weeks later to my comic shop, and I'm like, whoa, what's going on here? Why is there another issue out? Issue 3, what happened? They go, oh, no, it's a weekly. That one they're doing weekly or something. I'm like, really? And part of me was mad because I don't like the thought of I have to run back there to find out what's going on every week. But the other part was like, well, that's cool because I didn't want to wait 6 months to read this storyline. I want to just get it done with.
And is it a year-long event or, like, you know, how Batman Eternal
is? It's a miniseries. I think it's only 6 issues.
Okay, that's not that bad because I'm – like, that was why I was, you know, very hesitant and honestly got turned off of Batman Eternal.
Yeah, and that's why the new Secret Wars and all these books, they're just so dragged out, you know, and you just – I forget what I'm reading, and I'm like, what is this about again? I got to go back and look up the older issue just to recall what's happening to the characters. And it's not fun, you know? It's much easier to get the omnibus or the collected trade nowadays.
Yeah, and like, but the problem, like, you know, we've discussed, you know, on, you know, the previous episode with Joe, it's like it does hurt the book, like the certain titles, though, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. It hurts sales.
Because it's like, no one's reading this book, like – And in the original edit we were talking about, like, you know, Patsy Walker, Hellcat. And I'm like, oh, that book got canceled. No, it didn't get canceled. Apparently the trade sales did well enough that, you know, it, like, gave it life. But,
see, again, it's just, I don't know. Right now we're living in a world of change with comics. I do believe in 3 or 5 years, the comics industry, as we know, is going to the stores and buying your weekly books. I don't know where that's going to be in 5 years, if it's even going to be here.
I have to ask, by the way, as someone reading the books weekly, like, what are your, like, 3 favorite titles that are going on right now?
Well, I have no choice because of my OCD. I'm always going to say Spider-Man. I love Dan Slott, and I just love the character since I was 4. So the world, if I stopped reading Spider-Man, the Earth would rip free from its orbit, and we'd plunge into the sun and die a fiery death. So I am the only thing that stands between you and instant inferno action. So Spidey's always there. What else do I have? I got my book. You know what's funny? I got my books right here on the side of my – right here at the Terrificon offices here at Big Fedora Marketing. I have my stack of comic books underneath my stuffed Joker fish as we –
No way.
Yeah, I have it right here.
That's awesome.
And there's a Harley Quinn statue, and my wife just shakes her head because I've turned the front – I usually had my office downstairs in the house, but then my kids got bigger and – video games took over and they want their own space. So I moved out of the family room to the front living room, and I'm surrounded by my bookcase full of omnibuses. And this desk I have here, which was nice and clean 2 years ago, is fighting for any flat surface space. There's just toys everywhere and statues and whatever.
Kind of like our room right now. Our,
but I, you know, I'm a 50-year-old man, and we have people that come to the house, but my wife just goes, oh, he produces comic conventions, so they just let it go. But let's see. I've got my Spider-Man here. I've got Suicide versus Justice League, Suicide Squad versus Justice League. I picked that up. I actually picked up Commandy because it's this new thing they're doing for the Jack Kirby 100th birthday celebration where they're going to have different writing teams.
I heard about that.
Book. Yeah, I mean, I'm not a big Commandy fan. I wasn't somebody that liked it as a kid. But the idea that you're going to get different creative teams month or week to week or month to month, I don't know how they're doing it. I think it's month to month, writing the story. So I'm going to set up a story, and then I'm going to hand it off to you, and you're going to write it, and then you're going to hand it off to Mike, and Mike's going to write it. So it's going to be interesting to see how all these different creative types handle the storyline. I just like the concept of that.
I know so, Neil the Real Deal Adams is actually going to be involved.
Damn right Neil's going to be there. My old friend, Mr. Adams, who, of course, it would not be a terrific Comic-Con without the man, the chairman of the board, the Frank Sinatra of the comic book industry. Neil will be setting up shop like he always does in the front lobby with a booth so big it has its own zip code, as I like to say.
The Sinatra line is like the perfect definition of him. That, like, yeah. I just thought that. I'm like, wow, that is accurate.
Somebody once dared me to give him a wet willy.
Yeah.
But I'm afraid he probably knocked the crap out of me knowing him.
Neil has got like Popeye arms. My grandfather had those. He could knock you across the room. You know, it's his forearm.
Like older like, guy thing.
Like, damn right, man. It's like my grandfather, he used to step on bees when I was a kid. I mean, I was like, oh my God, there's a bee. My grandfather would just crunch it.
Bees?
He was
bee. School. Like zzz.
Beans. Like zzz. Yeah. Not beans. I mean, stepping on baked beans is not that frightening, but stepping on a bumblebee, well, not a bumblebee, but a bee that could sting you, a wasp, a freaking killer bee.
Imagine if you got stepped on a bumblebee, the car from Transformers. I mean, that's even more painful. And then you got like big ass feet.
My grandfather was from Italy, and he could take on any Transformer any day, man. He didn't take any guff. So
tremendous.
That's right. He's old school, man.
I know. I'm trying to think with the titles. I mean, like, you know, we going back to Spidey with, you know, Dan Slott.
Yes.
Dan gets so much grief from, you know, like the hardcore fanboy community.
He gives it back, though.
I love Dan.
He does. Yeah, he ain't taking no guff from anybody.
It's like the funniest thing is it's like cool to hate on him and Bendis now. And I'm like, I like them both.
Hating on George Lucas. I know what it's like. You know, they all hate George Lucas, but if it wasn't for him, they wouldn't have their little Star Wars or Indiana Jones. So I'm like,
no, but remember, quote unquote, Lucas raped our childhoods. No, he didn't. No, he made our childhoods great.
Yeah, exactly. He gave you a childhood. You would have been stuck watching Space 1999 and bad Star Trek movies. In fact, there wouldn't even be bad Star Trek movies if it wasn't for the bearded one himself. So back to back up, people. Jesus Christ.
And according to George Lucas's net worth, I don't think he really cares what people think about him.
No, and the fact the man even gives the money away. They give him billions of dollars from Disney, and he gives it to education funds to help make kids smarter. What? How could you knock the guy? Go ahead.
Oh, my favorite thing with George was that picture I found of him in an Australian mall just sitting eating Chinese noodles. And I'm like, you know what?
I saw the man here in New Haven when they were filming Indiana Jones Last Crusade at the catering tent. With his plaid shirt on and pot belly, getting a big plate full of barbecued ribs and corn on the cob and mashed potatoes. And I go, how could you not love that guy? That son of a bitch is worth billions of dollars. And he's in line going, oh, can I get a wet wipe here? I got some barbecue sauce on my face. You know, like, holy crap. He's just like us. He's a freaking little slob.
Loves ribs.
But he's a billionaire, you know?
That is tremendous. But yeah,
gotta love them.
Like the people, like, you know, who make things that people like, it's annoying when I hear, you know, people hate on them, you know, like,
I'm going to tell you something now. Thank you to the wonderful world of the internet. Petty jealousy rules. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I said a quote yesterday because a friend of mine, he's a good guy. He's a stand-up comedian. He's doing DJing and he did a set and people just gave him crap. Like you would not believe. And he's like been doing this for years, you know, and he really took it to heart because there are some vicious people living in their mother's basement writing all kind of stuff behind a keyboard, you know.
Some of us made it to the ground floor, so we're fine.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Let me tell you, my friend Matt Herring, who's on another great podcast called The Secret Identity Podcast for about 10 years now, he said it the best. Everybody's the Hulk behind the keyboard, but in life they're Bruce Banner. They're never going to say a word to you.
Oh yeah.
So I said this yesterday. When it comes to the today's world, there's those that can do, those that can't get on Facebook and make fun of the ones that do. That's the way it is. We live in a world of petty jealousy and miserable people that are just wallowing in self-loathing. And when they do see somebody successful out there, it's not patting them on the back. It's pushing them down. You know, it's a lot easier to push somebody down than it is to put a hand out and lift them back up.
My favorite one that I've seen people like blatantly attack is like if you go on Facebook and see the comicbook.com Facebook page, the one they attack the most is Kevin Smith. Like Kevin Smith will give his thoughts on something.
I know.
And I came to the conclusion it's petty jealousy because Kevin's doing what they wish they were doing.
Yes.
And it's like he's literally local local comic fan does good. Local boy exactly. Dunn did good, you know?
I talked to Kevin Smith. My very first time I talked to Kevin Smith was at the 2000 – it was the very first New York Comic Con. And he was up on stage, and I got up there, and I was a Q&A session, and my phone rang just as I was about to talk to him. And he goes, you got to get that? And here we are in front of thousands of people. I go, yeah, could you hold on, please? And I reach in my pocket, and it was my wife telling me my son had just made his first ever – touchdown pass. He had caught it and scored a touchdown. And then Kevin Smith's like, hey, everybody, shut up. The guy's talking to his wife. So, and I'm like, yeah, most of you people don't even have a wife, so shut the hell up. Shit. So I got on my phone. He goes, what's your question? I go, dude, you are us. You are the Mickey Mantle. You are the local boy made good. You are the local hero. In a bizarro world, what is the bizarro Kevin Smith doing right now? And he says, I am sitting in the audience right next to you watching somebody else on stage because that is me. I am the guy home in the basement eating the pork chops that his mom made last night, watching it and playing video games. He goes, I live, eat, and breathe this stuff. I just stepped in horse shit, but I worked hard for it. You know, I didn't just wipe my shoe off. I learned to love the horse shit and become something. And I deal with Hollywood and spend money and finance my own movies and take the biggest gamble of my life. That's how he succeeded. And you're exactly right, Peter. People don't like that. They don't like that you think you're better than them. No, he doesn't come out and say I'm better than you. But in their own sick little minds, they don't want to see somebody succeed. They don't want to see somebody out there because they think, hey, who's he think he is? You know, he's just a kid from Brooklyn. He's nothing special. That whole idea. And because of that, they have a forum now on Facebook and they could be tough and they could ridicule you and they can knock you down. But they're not going to do it. They spent the amount of time and energy they have putting people down, writing nasty stuff and put it towards productive use. They'd be surprised. They'd be a lot happier.
In the comic community, there's like one person, like, you know, who gets the bile the most I've ever seen of anybody. And, you know, that's, you know, Rob Liefeld. You know?
Oh, God, yeah. And you know what I said to Rob Liefeld? What do you do when people come up to you? What do they say to your face? He goes, you know what they say to me? I said, what? Hi, Mr. Liefeld. Can you sign this, please? And that's what they'd say to him.
The worst one I ever saw, somebody actually posted it online. It was like the most obnoxious thing. I think I've shared it on the show in the past. A fanboy walked up to him because this is what this guy is. He, you know, walks up, hands him a copy of Marvel's How to Draw the Marvel Way.
Oh, boy.
And they videotaped it because it was funny, and Liefeld was pissed.
But funny to who, though?
Exactly.
To make fun of somebody that's successful?
And the thing about, you know, his art – you can love him, you can hate him, but the thing is this, there's still somebody out there. I would love to hear, like, you know, one of the big names in the comic book industry, like, you know, an up-and-comer. Who were your favorite artists growing up? Oh, you know, Greg Capullo, Dave Cockrum, Rob Liefeld, then he just, like, sneaks that in there, you know what I mean?
Look, Rob Liefeld, look, Jerry Ordway is a friend of mine, and he'll tell me the story how Rob came here to Connecticut when he was just starting out in the late 80s and was basically like sleeping on the floor with, you know, Ordway and Dan Jurgens, trying to learn the trade, trying to ask these guys what to do. And he was literally a kid. He must have been like 17 or 18 years old, maybe a little older, maybe like, because I'm 50 and Rob's 49. So maybe he was like 23, 22. But he was trying to do his job, and he got into the industry, and he worked. And you know what? Not everybody's Gil Kane. Not everybody's John Romita. But you do make a path, and you make your own way. And he's got success. You can't knock the man for having success. Exactly. You may not like the way he draws, but you probably went to go see Deadpool, and he was part of that. So what do you knock him for, you know?
The funniest thing is literally Mike actually handed it to me, the first ever Deadpool action figure, because I'm a humongous Deadpool fan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, like I have that like sitting like literally right in front of me, you know? Yeah. So it's – the thing is with him, like he's – like regardless of anything, he created art, and art is subjective. You can like whatever you want to like. You know, it's like McDonald's. You know, not everyone likes everything.
Hey, man, some people like Wendy's, some people like Burger King, some people like Five Guys, you know.
I just want to interrupt this. Mike literally just mouthed out in a whisper like I love Wendy's.
Yeah, right. Wendy's got good fries.
Junior bacon cheese.
McDonald's has good fries. McDonald's hamburgers are like non-existent. I hate McDonald's hamburgers. the Burger King hamburger actually feels like you're eating something, that there's some heft to it. But in reality, I'm a Five Guys burger guy. I like the Five Guys, the way they make that thing.
I'm a White Castle guy, to be honest.
White Castle's great if you want to have the runs.
Oh, yeah.
If you love diarrhea, go ahead, have some belly.
I love burger. Diarrhea.
Oh, it's the best thing in the whole wide world.
You should
it's
have a competition.
It's nature's weight loss. You know what I mean? So. I love this podcast, boys. I mean, how many people are actually listening to our dietary tips right now? You know,
Pete, you should be like, "Hi, I'm Pete Melnick. I lost 100 pounds by eating nothing but White Castle."
I don't think you're going to get them as a sponsor. Nope. I think you've just kissed that ship. That ship has sailed. Okay.
By saying they give you diarrhea. White Castle, if you're hearing, we love White Castle.
If you were going to be a sponsor at Terrificon, Connecticut's Terrific Comic Con, happening on August 18th to the 20th, I will take your money.
It went sailing away on the same ship that Styx ran away on. Oh my gosh.
See, then Ming Chen can't complain about pizza coupons. He can, you know, have White Castle.
Ming Chen! Please, don't get me going on Ming Chen.
He's, on. Like I've said it in the past, he's like my favorite graphic designer. Like, legit.
No, I know. Ming, that's what Ming's job was, man.
But yeah,
job. He was a fanboy.
Again,
and he made
that
website, View Askew Universe, and that's how he got his job with Kevin.
It's crazy, like, you know, that's again the thing I love about Kevin is the fact, you know, he brought his friends along and brought them to do this cool stuff with him.
Yep. That's true. Hey man, you gotta have loyalty out there. There's a lot of snakes out there in this world. A lot of people trying to take advantage of you. And sometimes you got people that think you're your friends and they're just waiting to bite you in the ass too. So be careful out there. But Kevin's one of those guys that does stay loyal to his folks. You know?
Oh yeah. So. Absolutely. 110%, you know. And it's just one of those things. It's like he knew who was there for him at his lowest, you know?
Yeah.
And
yes, did. And now he's become a director of TV shows like, you know, The Flash and Supergirl, and he's getting another career going. Maybe this is the second stage of his career, becomes a TV director. Who knows?
We were just talking about on the way here that, you know, he didn't get the Buckaroo Banzai series, but it would be cool to see him get like a DC comic show or something if they gave him something to work with.
Yeah, why not, man? I mean, he's not faking it. He knows the stuff. I'd rather have a show directed by a fan who knows the content and the material and the characters than some hack that they just got off the line just to pump out another episode because there's no heart to it.
I would have loved to see him do Constantine when it was back on, do a couple episodes.
I was just thinking that when you said that. I was like, wow, he would really be good doing Constantine.
He would have put Swamp Thing in it. I know he would have.
Oh, absolutely. And not that Durock thing.
By the way, speaking about it, Constantine, did either of you guys see the Justice League Dark animated film that just got released digitally?
Yes.
Oh, no. Is it out already?
It's like as of last week, it was out on iTunes.
No, I have not.
It's awesome.
Mike, you've seen the entire thing?
Yeah, it's got – the lineup is Constantine, Xantana, Demon Knight.
Black Orchid.
Yep, Swamp Thing.
And Black Orchid.
Dead Man, Batman. Yep, cool lineup.
I watched, I think, the first 15 minutes or so, and it was good.
My theory is they did this mostly because, you know how they said they're doing a Swamp Thing animated series now? Just to kind of get the feel for, Swamp Thing, but a Constantine animated series.
Oh, yeah.
And they're going to get a vibe for, you know, how's this do? And then they're going to see, you know, what characters they're going to incorporate. So I definitely see them doing the Swamp Thing, Constantine story arc in that TV show when it gets going.
That would be awesome, honestly. Like, just, you know, see them incorporate that.
DC, I was just, the other night there was nothing on TV, so I went to Netflix. I was watching the old Titans.
Oh, that show was good.
Teen Titans or Young Justice?
Young Justice.
Is that show as good as I've heard it is? Because, everyone says.
It is. You got to get into it, and then you go, holy shit, this is really a good show.
It has, so many weird little cameos. You'll see, Dr. Fate show up, or Red Tornado's, their mentor.
That's awesome.
I finally got to see Justice League action, because it's only a 15-minute show, and I have been missing it, and I finally got to see it this weekend, and they did an episode with Firestorm on it. And, that's just a hard show to find, though. I mean, it's got Kevin Conroy doing the voice of Batman and such, so it's like the old Justice League cartoons, the Justice League Unlimited. But it's funny, this week on the Power Cosmic podcast, also available on Podomatic, comes out tomorrow, and the whole 45 minutes is just us talking about the Batman animated series, the Justice League Unlimited series, about all the good cartoons that they put out by...
Did you watch Brave and the Bold?
I love the Brave and the Bold. The three seasons of that with
yeah, it was great.
Rex Mundell is the voice as Batman.
Dietrich Bader. Yep.
I like to think that's like the unofficial sequel to Batman 66.
Oh, that show was good.
Oh, yeah. Dun, dun, dun. I can even hear the music in my head. And they would have the most obscure cameos you ever saw. You know, like, this week, Batman fights enemy Ace. You're like, what?
Well, yeah, what they said that's what the purpose was of the show. They weren't going to use guys like Superman. They're going to go like super obscure characters like Human.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know,
super obscure is my favorite supervillain of all time.
Super obscure.
Yeah, exactly. That's what made that show so fun to watch, because you're like, oh, my God, no one knows who this guy is. What the hell?
What the hell's the guy guy from the jungle? He wears, like, the red luchador mask and has the loincloth.
Oh, Beastman.
Yep, he was in it. But Wannabeast or something. Yep.
Yeah, yeah, the Wannabe, though. Yes, yes. He has a weird name, but I watched that episode.
Yeah, I think it was him and Animal Man teamed up or something.
Yeah.
Personally,
yeah,
I like the fact, you know, like, there were characters, like, you know, not obscure, but, like, you know, compared to, like, you know, these are more mainstream, but, like, you know, Booster Gold made an appearance in there. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Booster Gold was on there. Yeah, then they had the singing thing. Then they had that great episode where they had a race, like the Arrow car versus the Batmobile car versus the Joker mobile.
It was like Wacky Racers.
Exactly, man. I mean, it was fun. And it was done by people. My buddy Steve Melching, who's a writer on Star Wars, Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels, he wrote a lot of those episodes. And that was always a joke with us. Whenever I would see Aquaman, I knew Melching had written it, or maybe Tony Gilroy, and he'd always say outrageous, so that whenever an episode would come on, my son would watch it, I'd shoot over Melching an email and say outrageous. He's actually doing the Guardians.
Aquaman was hilarious on that show.
Yeah, that was voiced by the guy DiMaggio. John DiMaggio does Finn and Jake
on Adventure Time, making bacon pancakes.
Yep.
But yeah, there's, like, you know, just so many different characters in this stuff, and it's so cool to, you know, see that, you know, utilizing that whole, if I love Marvel, Marvel will always be my favorite thing, but the fact Brave and the Bold utilized so many characters from such a wide variety, you know, was incredible. It was awesome.
You know which Marvel animated show we mentioned on the podcast that was actually pretty good, even though it was aimed at little kids, had that same vibe, was the Marvel Super Squad.
Oh, yeah.
That was the, like, oh, they had such deep cut figures and characters that you're like, what the hell is this guy? Fire Lord is on here. Terex the Tamer's on here. And again, it was aimed at little kids because they were trying to sell these little toys that Hasbro was putting out, little figures. But they had such, it was like Brave and Bold. They were just reaching for weird characters that you'd never seen or heard of on an animated Marvel show before, you know?
Personally, I found it funny the fact, you know, they never introduced him on the show, but they made, you know, a Deadpool figure, you know?
Oh, and did they? Was there a Deadpool figure?
It was a Deadpool Taskmaster 2-pack.
Oh, yeah. I do remember that. He had the big sword.
And then they also utilized, you know, they brought the Punisher into the show, and it was like such a fourth wall breaking style character in the sense of how dark he was. It was great.
Yeah, I mean, here you got this show aimed at little kids, and you got a guy whose his wife and kids were murdered by the mafia, and he's a one-man vigilante killing machine. And it's okay, kids. It's on for you. Go watch it. Yay.
You know, speaking of killing machines, you know, the week before, the trailer, the final, quote-unquote, final trailer for Logan got dropped.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah. I saw both the regular one and Red Band. Not much of a difference, except, you know, a certain four-letter expletive made its cameo. Oh. But, man, I'm on a humongous X-Men kick right now. So with this movie coming out, you have no idea how stoked I am.
No, I mean, I know it's not going to be, because of the rights issues, it's not going to be an exact, you know, adaptation of the comic book. Because they can't get some of the characters, like the Hulk, obviously. So it's going to be interesting to see how they play it and how is the ending of the story. But, you know, there's going to be that sentimentality to see Professor X one last time with Patrick Stewart and supposedly the last performance of Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. We'll see about that.
I've said it on the show, you know, before, but I mean, like, the way I've seen with these trailers, I'm getting the feeling it's going to be a love child of Old Man Logan and Death of Wolverine. You know, because you see him show up with that, you know, big bushy beard that Logan has in Death of Wolverine.
Yeah.
So if you know how Death of Wolverine ends, well, doesn't end with him living, but
no,
you know,
and I'm surprised. And you know what? I got to admit, I'm surprised that they haven't changed that by now. I know they have Old Man Logan in the comics, But I really thought they would have gone back and retconned that storyline by now.
I mean, like, I'm hoping one day, you know, spoilers for a three-year-old comic event, which, man, time sure does fly, because that felt like yesterday. But,
yeah.
You know, that story ends with him getting encased in adamantium.
Adamantium, yeah. And he died, yeah.
And, you know,
I'm like, he's not dead. And they're like, Brie Vort and everyone like, no, he's dead. No, he's not. When are you guys going to bring him back? They're like, no, he's not coming back. He's dead. I'm like, no, he's not.
I think, like,
watch after we get done today. Wolverine back is back alive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's we'll do stuff like that. We'll talk about it, and all of a sudden we'll, you know, wrap up, and all of a sudden there's like a breaking news story that we were just talking about.
Well, I'm sure it's going to happen sooner or later. Somebody's going to, you know, even Bucky came back. Only Uncle Ben's not back, but sooner or later somebody's going to bring him back.
Well, Uncle Ben kind of came back in the Spider-Verse. Kind of.
Kind of, but yeah, that's more of a what if, I think.
True, true. But yeah, I mean, like, I'm excited for the movie. I mean, you know, I think they're off to a good start in, like, early word about it from the people who have seen it. But then again, it's a screening. Everyone's going to be excited because
it's
a
screening. Oh, yeah, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread because there's paying for the bread.
Just like Batman v Superman, colon, Dawn of Justice. So
I kind of like that movie. You know what it was? When I first saw it, I walked out of that theater and I couldn't believe I actually saw Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman on the big screen. So from the geek point of view, you're still in shock.
Yeah.
You're still like, oh my God, they did it. Even had, my God, they had Doomsday in it. Oh, and then it wears off. The drug wears off. And then you go back and see it a second time. You go, it's kind of stupid with the Martha. What did you mean? Everybody knows Bruce Wayne's name was Martha Wayne's. You know, he's a famous figure.
They bonded over coincidence. That's how I yeah.
Wow. And like Forrest Gump.
And then I even talked to Jerry Ordway, because Ordway obviously had a lot to do with the Death of Superman storyline in the comics. And he's like, no, that showed Batman, the Superman's humanity, because he realized he had a mother and he wasn't this killing machine, this alien thing that he thought. And I said, Jerry, you're really doing the fanboy over explaining how things work, because I do it with Star Wars, you know, like, oh no, this is what really happened in this movie, in the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Don't you see, this is what really was supposed to happen, even though they didn't do it on screen, this is what they meant to do. So we try to like save the faults, but right. Now back, I realize Batman v Superman wasn't probably the best movie.
That's how I see it.
It was okay. It was better than The Quest for Peace, if that's what you – if that.
Oy. Oh, come on. No love for canon films. Come on. Golan and Globus, man. Come on.
Oh, I know. It's like Suicide Squad. First night I saw it, I walked out of there going, oh, my God, that movie was unbelievable. That was so great. Did you hear the music and the shit? They went, oh, my God, and this guy, blah, blah. And then I saw it the second time. I go, oh, my God, I could barely stay awake. This movie sucks. So I don't know what's going on. DC manages to thrill you.
And chill you.
And chill you. Where Marvel movies, whenever the Winter Soldier's on, I'll watch it all the way to the end again. Like, oh, Winter Soldier's on. Yay.
So. Yeah, I mean, what's it called? With Suicide Squad, you know, I liked it initially. It's okay movie.
Yeah.
But then, like, I've tried to watch it since, and I can't get past the Harley Quinn prison scene, you know, where she's locked up and has the electrodes.
Yeah, 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 yeah. That's what I'm saying. I don't get it either. I'm like, why did I think this was so good when I first saw it? What the frick was I thinking?
And I was attempting to watch the extended cut, so I'm like, I don't even know.
I did. I watched the extended cut thinking, oh, it'll be saving.
Come on, though. You know, it did. Like, I don't know if I initially said it, but I don't care for Leto's Joker. You know, with
Waste. That was just stupid.
It sounds like he's from Fargo or something.
Hunka hunka.
Oh, yeah. Hunka hunka, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I think he was trying to do Jack Nicholson and Heath Ledger. I don't know what he was trying to do there, you know?
He was trying to do Jack Ledger or Heath Nicholson. So.
Jack, yeah, exactly. You know, and do you guys watch Gotham?
I watched most of the first season, fell off a little on the second one. I want to get back into it, though.
I haven't watched in a couple weeks.
There's a guy on there now, and he's been on before. His name's Jerome, and he's kind of like their Joker, and he's on there. And he's doing a version. And again, if you're a fan of the Batman comics, there's homages left and right. They cut his face off, so he had to staple his face back on, which is alluding to the whole Scott Snyder Death of the Family, Joker, you know what I mean?
Right.
And when he goes to talk, he does the Heath Ledger voice, you know? So there's a lot to like.
It's like an amalgam.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So if you're a fan of Batman, on a lot of levels, there's a lot to like. Is it great? No, but you got to give them credit for attempting this stuff. You know, that's what I think.
My thing with Gotham that I have to say, I just, you know, I think it's a cool concept, you know, but I think there's also like a lot of people that go, oh, when is he going to become Batman? Not for a long, long time.
He's the very last episode. He'll become Batman, just like they did it with Smallville, you know?
I mean, and it's kind of cool, by the way, speaking of the most recent Jerome episode, a friend of mine actually was one of the extras.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he was, I don't know if you remember seeing it when they show the big
theater with all the...
Yeah, the theater, there was the guy with the glasses and the big mustache and goatee combo.
Okay, yeah, I did. No, I did. He stood out, yeah.
My friend Justin Wang, the guitarist of the band Jinx, and he's also got a... you can find him on YouTube, he's... literally just type in Sinbad Mandela Theory, and he's like the top video, Justin Wang. Just funny, funny dude.
Well, you know what? I'm going to mention this because here I'm doing the Comic-Con. Being a fanboy is the greatest thing ever when you go to produce a comic convention, because I just sit there and go, who would I want to meet? Who would I want to see? And that's how I figure out the shows. I'm very selfish about that. Most of the people, the artists and the writers you see, because I'm fans of theirs. All right. That's why I get them, because it's my living long box. I want to collect them all.
I'll say real quick, as a fan of The Death of Superman and Booster Gold, thank you for being a fan of Dan Juergens for Terrific Con 15.
Dan was almost there last year, and he was going to come this year, but there's some scheduling problems, but neither here nor there. But anyway, there's a guy. You saw the movie The Dark Knight, obviously, right?
Yes.
You saw the movie Ant-Man, right?
Yes.
I don't know if you watch the new MacGyver show. I do not watch the new MacGyver show.
I don't.
Do you?
No. Mike, do you?
No. I've seen like one or two MacGyvers back in the day.
Okay. So anyway, on the Jerome episode of Gotham, there's an actor named David Desmalchin.
Okay.
Okay. He was the Russian guy that was on the crew in Ant-Man that helped them break in. That guy.
Okay.
He's also the guy in The Dark Knight that goes to shoot the Commissioner Gordon. And they have him, you know, in the back seat, and Harvey Dent's going to blow his brains out, and he's flipping the coin.
Yeah, he's in he's in Gotham now.
Yeah, he was in Gotham. He's the one that brought the body of this Jerome back to life and cut his face off and such.
Yeah.
So he's in a lot of movies. He's going to be in Blade Runner 2. He's going to be in Twin Peaks, the revival that's coming on Showtime. He's going to be in a movie that's coming out, I think this week, called The Belko Experiment.
Right.
So I know him, and I talk to him, and I can get him to come to the Comic-Con, the Terrific-Con, and I'm thinking to myself, would anybody really want to get his autograph or meet him? Because I'm just interested because of all the movies he's done
right.
and all the people he's worked with, and I would love to sit there and hear stories from the set. What was it like to work with Heath Ledger, because he's in the scene with Ledger? What's it like to work with Christian Bale? What was it like to work with Michael Douglas and being on Ant-Man? You know, are you going to be an Ant-Man too? What's going on with that? So I don't know if people get off on meeting all these side people, or they all just want to meet the main guy from The Walking Dead or whatever. So I'm throwing that out to you, boys.
I still blame you for the death of Abraham.
Oh, please. It's my fault that Cutlets.
The second hurt. I seen him advertised, I was like, Abraham's dead.
Stop. What gave it away?
That Abraham's going to be at the con during their filming time. I was like, he's dead. He's dead meat. And plus, he didn't get killed with the crossbow, so I was like, he's dead. He's 100% dead. I told Pete the second I saw that you advertised it, you know, he's going to be there. I was like, he's dead.
Yeah, well, yeah, you weren't too far off the charts with that. I said that to him, too, when he called me. I was like, oh, okay, where do I have to pick you up? Florida or California? He's like, oh, I'll be in California. I'm like, oh, you're dead, aren't you? Because everybody else will be filming in Atlanta. Why aren't you there? But he wouldn't say anything.
Did he talk about how like secretive it is there and everything? Because I read in articles, they said it was like almost nerve-wracking paranoid they were like saying.
No, I had people requesting to do interviews with him at the show, and he's like, hey, brother, can you do me a favor? I'm really not – I got an NDA. I can't talk about anything. When we're not filming, I can't talk about The Walking Dead. I'm like, absolutely. So people were writing to me for podcasts and TV interviews like, can I talk to him? I'm like, nope, can't do it. Sorry, can't do it.
Ask about the Mighty Ducks.
Yeah, talk about the Talk about all this other film. Talk about Southland. Talk about Band of Brothers. Talk about the Mighty Ducks. But do not talk about the Walking Dead.
Or Fight Club.
Was he in Fight Club?
No.
No. But you don't talk about Fight Club.
Oh, all right. I was going to say it. Really? Cutlets has got a great career. That guy is in everything, okay? My wife will be watching a show like Suits or something. And she's like, hey, there's that Mike Cutlets guy. I'm like, what? Nice guy. Another nice guy. We only get nice guys at Terrific Con. You're a jerk. You got attitude. We don't want you. So anyway, answer my story. Do you guys like meeting that? I mean, what kind of people do you like meeting at conventions?
I tend to like meeting, like, you know, the heroes of my childhood. Like, you know, like
Sam Jones.
Honestly, man,
he was cool.
Sam Jones is one of the nicest people I've ever met.
I know. I didn't know how that was going to go when I booked him. And then he showed up and everyone's like, wow, that guy is terrific. I'm like, he was, wasn't he? You know?
There is actually a moment with Sam Jones. I went to go see Ted back in 2012. I don't know if I've told – I've probably told the story on the show before like 15 times, but I'll tell it here again because every episode might be somebody's first.
That's right.
Basically, I met Sam, and what happened was I went to go see Ted in 2012 at a drive-in with my mom.
A drive-in?
Yeah, there's one in Fair Oaks, New York, which is right near us. One of the final drive-ins left in the country.
I'll have to check it out. I love drive-ins.
And they actually, you would have loved it. They had Indiana Jones last year or the year before on a retro night. Swear to you.
Yeah, they do retro nights there.
I saw the Indiana Jones trilogy at the Alamo Draft House in Yonkers. Sat through all of them. But go on.
What happened was, so I went to go see it. And there's the one line where he goes, it's like the 80s. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we do a lot of cocaine and bang women named Stephanie. My mom's loving this movie all the way through. She's like, oh, it's really funny. I really like it. Blah, blah, blah. And then that line comes up and her face drops and I'm laughing in the car because my mom's name is Stephanie.
Oh.
And she goes, I hate that guy.
Really?
So what happens next is we meet him and I decide, you know what? I'm going to bring my vinyl, copy of Flash Gordon. Yeah. And so I say, listen, you know, I recount the story and I tell him everything and his face drops when, you know, I say, her name is Stephanie. And he goes, oh, no.
Yeah.
And so I say, listen, I got a question. Can you sign this?
Yeah.
And make it out to my mother and I and say, sorry for the Stephanie line. And he did.
Yeah. There you go.
So and he apologized to my mom.
That's nice.
He's the greatest person, like, you know, out of all the celebrities I've ever met, stand-up guy, absolutely classic.
Let me tell you, he should be a motivational speaker.
Oh, yeah.
Like a... He has that presence like a preacher. He's a big guy, formidable. He's got to be 6'5", 6'6". He's a big dude. But he has a way about him where he's very disarming, just like John Wesley Shipp. He comes out, introduces yourself. My son's there. My son was going off to college for the first time last August. So he's a lacrosse player. And Sam goes, I go, oh, Mr. Jones, this is my son, Spencer, likes to meet you. Hey, what are you, football player? No, lacrosse. Oh, lacrosse guys are great. They got a brain. But let me tell you, you're going to get to school. There's going to be a lot of drugs, a lot of girls and stuff like that. But don't screw up. Keep your head on your shoulders and do this stuff because you got one shot at this. And you want to be good. And he's doing this like, you know, motivational talk. And my son's listening to him. Now, my son doesn't know him from Flash Gordon. He knows him from the Ted movies, you know. So he's like, Dad, that guy, that's the guy from Ted, man. I go, what are you talking about? That's Flash Gordon. He saved the freaking universe. He saved all of us and in 19 hours or whatever it was. And my son's like, what the hell are you talking about? I go, what the hell are you talking about? He's like, he's Ted.
I've run into Flash Gordon cosplayers, and whenever I get the chance, I always walk up and go, thank you for saving every one of us, and shake their hand and walk away.
Yeah.
They appreciate it.
No, but he was, again, a pleasant surprise. You don't know when you get guests who's going to be a jerk, who's going to be awesome. But he's in the awesome category.
Rod Piper is one of those surprising guys. We met him one time, and we were kind of like, you know.
He was
great.
Yeah, you hear mixed stories about wrestlers. You know, some of them are just complete jerk-offs. And so, you know,
that dude was a saint, man.
Yeah, he brought us in into like a corner, did an interview with us. We asked for 5 minutes, and he did like 15.
I am so sad that he passed away because I would have had him at my show in a heartbeat. That dude was a complete gentleman. And he would stop traffic for you if you were a fan and talk to you for hours. He did not care. He was not about making money and getting his autograph money or photo money. He was a gentleman. God rest his soul. He was a great guy.
Absolutely.
Roddy Piper. You think he was going to be mean? nicest guy, teddy bear. He was a teddy bear.
It's funny because like these guys who like seem super, super, super imposing and, you know, like intimidating.
Yeah.
They turn out to be the nicest people you'd ever want to meet.
Yeah. That's the good thing about doing shows. You want to have everybody walk out of there with a good story. You know, it's all about stories. You want somebody to have a good experience. You want a photograph on Facebook, that's fine. But you want to hear them tell their friends, whenever that movie's on cable or they're clicking channels and they see him, they go, hey, I met that guy. He was so freaking nice. That's what I love hearing. I love hearing people saying, oh, I was so scared when I met so-and-so, but then he turned out to be terrific, you know?
Terrific-con.
That's right. It sells itself.
But what also going, you know, with like childhood and stuff like that, you know, for Mike and I, like one of the biggest building blocks of our childhood was the Power Rangers, you know?
Yeah.
And
I was too old for that, so.
They dropped the new trailer, and I got to say, like, some people I know have seen it. Our producer, he hated it. I liked the new trailer. I thought it was fun. It added humor, and it worked.
Yeah, it looks cool.
I guess. I don't know Power Rangers. I don't know Transformers too much. I was born in 66, so by the time the mid-80s came around, I wasn't into that stuff.
Well, I'll tell you one thing about Transformers. They're more than meets the eye. So
I've heard that.
But yeah, I mean, like, I think the idea of, you know, using these characters, like the retro ones, and like making the modern day reinventions of them, it is kind of cool. But I'm nervous of the day we're going to see, like, you know, a dark and gritty Strawberry Shortcake, because I really don't want to see that. You know,
like that Gem movie that came out last year.
Did you see it? Did anyone see that?
I don't even think the people that made the movie saw it. It was out in a week and left.
They're like, oh crap, we made a movie, guys.
Now, speaking of movies that not many people I know have seen. I know two people that have seen it. No, three. We asked this question to you at Terrificon in 2015. We're going to ask it to you again.
Yeah.
Have you seen Fantastic Four 2015?
Yes.
What did you think of it?
It's the only movie. Look, I don't get up and leave a movie even if I'm having my kidneys are bursting. Okay, I will sit through that. I will wet my pants before I leave that movie theater. I will not get up during a movie to go to the bathroom. Okay, it's just the way it is. I mean, I remember what's the one with the joke Riddler, Batman Forever.
Forever.
Yeah, Batman and Robin. I had to go to the bathroom so bad. But I'm like, I can't leave. I have to see how this ends. What is happening?
And the funniest thing. Thing is on our table is Mike has the young adult novelization of Batman Forever by Peter David.
Well, everybody does. It's like the Gideon Bible. There's nothing wrong with that. So I sat there and my son, Fantastic Four. We got to see it. It's a Fantastic Four. You know, I have to go see it. It's like doing your taxes. You have to do it. So I get up and I go, hey, I got to go to the bathroom. And my son's like, what? Like, you all right, Dad? Yeah, I got to go. So I go out. Not only did I go to the bathroom, relieve my bladder.
You went to a Cinnabon in the mall?
I walked around the lobby. I checked my phone messages. I walked over and picked up some straws that fell on the ground. I walked back. And my son, I go, hey, what's going on? He goes, you didn't miss anything. And I was gone for about 15 to 20 minutes. I mean, the movie was barely 90 minutes long. And I didn't miss anything. So to answer your question, I've sat through the Swamp Thing in movie theaters. I've sat through the first Ben Affleck Daredevil movie, okay? I sat through some of the worst. I sat through Condor Man back in the 80s, man. This movie was the worst piece of crap I've ever seen. How they can call themselves the Fantastic Four and not be shot at sunrise is beyond me. So, yeah, I did see it.
But tell us how you really feel.
Yeah, don't hold back now.
I pray for the day we see a good Fantastic Four movie.
I didn't mind the other ones, okay? Those movies were like Gone with the Freaking Wind.
I'm worried the Power Rangers is going to get that kind of touch like the Fantastic Four movie.
All I know about the Power Rangers movie is that Belloc is in it. That's all I know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the 1995 one, the original one.
Yeah.
Yeah, Paul Freeman.
Yeah, that's right.
I saw he's going to be at a convention soon.
At the Great Philly Comic Con.
Yes, and I saw like one of the things was his character Ivan Ooze, and I'm like, all right, I can see why they're advertising. Like it was bigger than
Belloc. They weren't bringing him. I would go see him because he was Belloc, but they were not bringing him for that reason.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's, like, I've said it, you know, in the past, like, my generation, you know, Mike's generation, like, it's 90s stuff from our childhood is like catnip for us, you know, like
some stuff.
We eat it up like candy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I see that with the shows. I mean, when I go to book guests, I bring people in, they're like, oh my God. So,
like, that's why, like, you know, we met Kevin Conroy at, you know, your show, and Kevin's a voice of our childhood, you know?
Well, he's been doing it for 25 years now. So I think a lot of people can't think of Batman without Kevin Conroy, you know?
Although, to be fair, when I think of Batman, I also think of Adam West, who I believe is going to be appearing for the final time in Connecticut.
Him and Burt Ward will be appearing for the final time as the dynamic duo this August 18th to the 20th, 2017, in Connecticut. In fact, I was just on the phone with the fella before we talked. The original Batcopter will be there and flying at the Mohegan Sun. You could get a ride just like Mike Zapsik did on Comic Book Men. We will be offering helicopter rides in the original Batcopter.
Mike just started shaking his head out of nervousness, like, no, I'm not going to get in that. I'm not getting in that.
No, I don't know. It's just a little sketchy.
Oh, come on. The guy flying has been a pilot for 40 years. Zaps, if it's good enough for Zapsik, it's good enough for you, Mike.
It'll be my luck. I'd fall out. I'd be the guy who dies at. Falls out.
That's not going to happen.
Maybe I'll take a flight.
Is that the call? Live a little. I've been in helicopters. They're fun.
I'll try it out.
I know this past, speaking of Batman 69, I mean 66.
Batman 69 is a porn movie. We
it
don't want
to sure get it. Sure is. Anyway, I actually got to play. I actually got to play the Batman 66 pinball machine at Rock Fantasy.
I saw that photo on your Instagram thing.
Fun fact: the guy who owns that machine, he's actually going to Terrificon to get the headpiece, the main glass, signed by Adam and Bert. He's going to your con to get that
done. Out. Well, tell him to bring the damn pinball machine. Bring the whole thing. I love that. I saw that. I go, I want that. I want that so bad.
It,
you know?
It was so neat. Like, if you ever get the opportunity, go to Rock Fantasy. Like, there's about, I want to say, a good 20 pinball machines in the back room that anyone can go in and play.
And where, like, is that? Jersey?
Middletown, New York.
Okay.
And, like, it's a revolving door of machines sometimes, because, like, all the machines, except for, like, a select few, are for sale. Like, out in the front, when you walk in, next to the door is the Flash Gordon pinball machine. So it's kind of cool, you know, to see that.
Well, when you walk out the door at the Mohegan Sun, they have the Flash Gordon, they have the Ted slot machine. So it's kind of like the same thing.
Really?
I saw the Adam West Batman 66 slot machine right next to the Ted slot machine. And I looked, and there was Flash Gordon. And I go, look, two of the guests at Terrificon are available to win your fortune and glory.
I would play both in a heartbeat.
This August 18th to the 20th.
Absolutely. And, you know, like, going with, you know, back to the pinball thing, like, there's – are you a fan of pinball at all?
Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, I'm doing the GamerCon, and I know folks are coming to play video games and such, but I'm a pinball dude. I grew up – because pinball, you could make your quarter last as long as you wanted.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? You could hit that flipper, that plunger. You could take your time. A video game, you put it in. If you sucked at Pac-Man, you were dead in seconds. If you sucked at Asteroids, you're going to get your ship blown up. But a pinball machine, you could hang out, get a soda, come back. Oh, yeah. You know. And if you're really good, you might win a free game. So, yes, I am a pinball fan.
I'm still terrible at pinball. I've played it for, like, years, but I'm still terrible at it. So, no, I never get my use out of a quarter. But
don't make me come over there and hit you, Peter, because I will.
I know my favorite pinball would have to be
what?
Either the Royal Rumble, because, like, that's, like, just a fun game, or the Data East Guns N' Roses machine. As a big Guns N' Roses fan, that's the best.
You know, John Cimino owns, my partner on which podcast? Power Cosmic. He owns some wrestling video game thing,
I would not doubt if it was WrestleFest, which is a classic.
Yes, it's got four people can play it.
That's the best. Like, that's one of my favorite wrestling games of all time.
It's at his house. You can go over to John's house and play it.
What are some of your favorite pinball games you've played over the years?
Oh, my God. The Indiana Jones one, of course. It's like, see you tomorrow, Indiana Jones. There was a Twilight Zone one I liked. There was an Addams Family one. Back when I was a kid, there was a Happy Days one that I used to play at the Subway shop across the street from my Catholic school. I'd go out afterwards. Other kids would be playing Asteroids and Space Invaders, but I would play the Fonzie Pinball Machine. I think it was always tied to whatever character. Some of them get too complicated, all right? Some of them are just too hard to figure out what's happening. And I, because there's like a video game built in and you got to shoot stuff. And I'm like, whoa. Where the hell? I just need to have some targets. I need to shoot some stuff. That's all I want. Don't overcomplicate this. Don't try to make a hybrid.
This is more than I bargained for.
And then I don't like it when all the balls come out. If you've seen games like that where suddenly there's like four or five pinballs flying at you and you're like, what's going on?
Oh, the multi-ball? That
multi-ball.
Point,
yeah, I don't like those. They scare me.
When that happens to me, I end up just focusing on the flippers and I'm like, well, that's the only time I'm going to be in. Do.
Yeah, you can't freaking, you know.
I know. Like with the Batman 66 machine, though, it was absolutely insane because it had two LED screens in the device or the pin machine. Mm. One on the front where it would, like, you know, play clips, which I didn't get to watch at all. You know, it's more like a thing for somebody else to watch you play. You know,
that's like those are arcade machines. That's like the slot machines.
Right.
They have those like little cutscenes. I don't even care if I'm winning or losing the money. I don't gamble, but I just like watching the little animated stuff. They have a Superman one there from the 77 or 78 Superman movie with Christopher Reeve. And I just like watching the little bits and pieces that are in that thing, you know?
Nice.
There was a Star Wars one. There was an Indiana Jones one. I wanted to own – remember those Japanese things? What were they called?
Pachinko.
Pachinko. There was a I was going to buy the Indiana Jones one. Because they had all these like animated things and it made crazy noise. All these little ball bearings are coming down. You guys do something with them. And I don't know how it works, but
as bad as it was, I will always love the, pinball or the pinball machine for Star Wars Episode 1, because it included full motion video and everything. And that in 99, that was state of the art.
I like the Abbott Family one.
Oh, that's a classic. And you can actually play that at Rock Fantasy.
Really?
That's there.
Yeah, they have that. They have both KISS machines because there was a re-release of a new one last year with like music and everything.
Yeah.
They have two Rolling Stones machines, and as a big Rolling Stones fan, you better believe I played them both.
Yeah.
What else?
I don't know.
They had X-Men. They had Spider-Man. They had the Avengers.
Yeah.
And just like, again, like obscure stuff, really cool stuff. And again, I highly recommend coming up to Middletown, New York to check it out.
Hey, I'm going to let you guys behind the scenes at the magic here at the Magic Kingdom, the happiest place on earth. I'm going to post another guest today on the Facebook and the social media and the Twitter, the Twitter. Who should it be? Who should it be? I've been doing by book. If you've been watching the guest list for Terrificon, I'm grouping groups of people. Like you said, you like the Death of Superman and Booster Gold. I'm on a crisis on an Infinite Earths theme. I've already introduced George Perez coming to the show. I've already introduced Marv Wolfman. Now I could introduce a good friend of mine who comes every year, Mr. Jerry Ordway, who was the inker on Crisis for some of the book, or a fellow that I went to grammar school, high school, and college with from my hometown in New Haven, Connecticut, Mr. Michael DiCarlo, or Mike DiCarlo. So which one of those two do you want me to put up today?
I would say Ordway.
Really? You go with Ordway?
Yeah.
Mike DiCarlo's not getting the love?
Okay. When I think of, like Superman, especially because it's a heavy Superman storyline, I always think of Ordway.
All right, I will put up Ordway. I just had DiCarlo in the sights, but I will put Jerry up.
I have to ask, by the way, to go see Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice, because I'll always call it that long title.
With Jerry Ordway sitting next to me. Yeah,
what was that like? Because I saw the picture, and I'm like, wow. You got to see,
he had already seen it. I was supposed to go with him to the movie premiere on Sunday. He had an extra ticket, and he got to go see it with the actors and the writers and Dan DiDio and Jim Lee and Frank Miller was there. So he calls and he's like, oh, you know what? My daughter wants to go. I'm like, what? What do you mean she's your flesh and blood? I'm your buddy, man. So he took his daughter. And then he goes, I'll see you with you Thursday, because I had to review it for the radio because I'm the king of the nerds on the Chaz and AJ show here in Connecticut. So I'm sitting there with Jerry, and Jerry already knew how it ended. And I didn't know they were going to tag on Doomsday. I thought the movie was over. I had no idea they were going to kill him, spoiler alert, at the end of the movie. I was shocked. I was like, oh my God. And they had ripped the panels from the comic book. You know, the coffin with the Superman logo on the coffin. That's right out of the comics.
I love that.
And that was Jerry. So that's what I'm saying. Batman v Superman has elements of it that are awesome to see on screen. You know, you're like, oh my God, they're doing this. So overall, the movie might be a turd, but there's parts of that turd that have some really shiny parts to it. But Jerry, he's a guy, like you said, it was his idea. If you go back and watch the documentaries, it was Jerry's idea to kill Superman when they used to have those writing summits, and they used to sit there and scratch their heads like, where else can we go with this character that's been around for 50 something years at the time? And Jerry would always go, why don't we just kill him? And eventually they did. They eventually killed him. They thought Jerry was just crazy, but no, they killed Jerry. They killed Superman off. So to see that translated on the big screen had to be like amazing. And I'm sitting right next to the guy. And when the credits came up, we watched, and there's Jerry's name on the screen, like special thanks to Dan Jurgens, Louise Simonson, Mike Carlin, Jerry Ordway. And I feel like pointing to everybody in the theater, hey, this is the guy that helped work on that, man. He's the guy that draws Superman. He killed Superman.
Blame him.
It's like sitting next to George Lucas when they're watching Star Wars or Raiders of the Lost Ark. You know, it's very surreal knowing the guy next to you helped create the imagery and the storyline that's on this big giant blockbuster of a movie that they spent a gazillion dollars on. And I don't know. I remember the DJ asked me the next morning. I told him that. He said, well, what'd you think of the movie? Everybody hates it. I go, well, I was there with the guy who wrote it. He goes, so? I go, I can't trash it if the guy's right next to you. He goes, well, he's not here with you now. What do you think of it? But I stayed loyal. I stayed true to my guns. I gave it a 7 or 8 out of 10. And I was still in the high of the movie at that time. I hadn't worn off yet from the drug.
That was mine too. It definitely was.
But no, it's always fun. I see Suicide Squad with Jerry. We go see, because Jerry gets it. He knows comic books. That's his job. He works there. I'll drag my family to it. My sons might know some of the characters. My wife does not know comic books or Star Wars or anything. So Jerry and I can talk about the movies like I'm talking to you guys for hours on end because he knows it all. He helped create all that stuff. So it's always fun to go to a movie with Ordway and just pick the picture apart. But he liked it, and I think I liked it because he did. He was so enthused about it. He was so excited to see his work up on the big screen. You just couldn't help but feel, you know, happy for the guy.
Right. Yeah. I mean, with, you know, that film, it was cool to see, you know, the imagery of, you know, like Dark Knight Returns brought to the big screen like that. You know, was the execution good? Not really, but it still happened.
But it doesn't take away from what they did. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't take away from the Death of Superman comic book that Jerry did, you know? So. Right. That adds to it. It's like, okay, you saw the Star Wars prequels, obviously. They weren't good as the Star Wars original trilogy, but they were still Star Wars. So on some level, you like them no matter what.
Yeah.
You might not have liked Batman v Superman, but you did like the Death of Superman and all the stuff that followed. So on some level, you do have an appreciation for it. You
Man,
know?
Death of Superman is like, it's one of those comics where like a lot of people give it flack because it, you know, it caused like the 90s speculator boom and everything. But
dude, that's just people's greed. You know, I still love it.
It's still like one of my favorite stories. It's what, you know, it's one of my early childhood memories too. You know,
that so, like, shot of Lois cradling that, you know, La Pietà shot of, you know, Mary and Jesus. Except it's Superman and Lois Lane. That's iconic. You know, the shot of the piece of steel, rebar, whatever it's called, hanging up, and there's a piece of torn Superman cape on it when he's dead.
Right.
That imagery. That's, I mean, you can't close your eyes and not see that.
Yeah.
That's going to be burning your brain. So, I mean, and that's in there. Those are those Easter eggs. You could watch that Batman versus Superman and look for those elements to it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So for on that level, I like it.
So now, speaking of big cataclysmic events, kind of like the Death of Superman, they just announced the title of Star Wars Episode 8. And guess what it's going to be, Mike?
Here we go again?
The Last Dragon. Oh. No, The Last Jedi.
Okay.
Because we're going to be getting Tymok in it. We're going to be getting Tymok, and he's going to be a Jedi. I can't wait. No. It's going to be called The Last Jedi, and a lot of, you know, fan speculation or, you know, people are thinking, oh, they're going to kill off Rey, but, or not they're going to kill off Rey, they're going to kill off Luke. Jedi is the plural of Jedi. You know what I mean? So it's...
Yeah.
It might be more
I'm
than
sorry,
one.
I'm sorry, I'm still watching. I did get goosebumps watching this shit.
Originally off mic, we ended up having the... Mike thought he found the teaser, but it was actually from a Facebook page, fan page. Which
I think
me
I
out.
Made this thing.
Wait, what?
I said, I think I made it. It's a fan-made thing. You can tell.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, you know, they announced...
Doesn't mean it's bad. It's just, it's not the legit, you know.
It's too legit to quit when you think about it.
Exactly.
Now, I mean, I like the idea of the name. I'm kind of a fan of it. I think it works, you know. And, as people have pointed out, like, you know, again, this is the level of, you know, detective work or, you know, just OCD in the nerd community. But man, oh man, do I love the fact, like, somebody pointed out, The Force Awakens, The Last Jedi, oh my gosh, they're starting a sentence. It was like that. I love that. You know, it's nerd detective work.
Look, I don't know what the surprise was, because when I was a kid, Yoda tells Luke, Last of the Jedi, will you be? So I already knew he was the Last Jedi. And in the last movie, the opening crawl that said, the new First Order is obsessed with finding Skywalker, and they want to wipe out the Last Jedi. We already know who it is.
So that's
Luke.
Like his nickname, the Last Jedi.
That's his, yeah, it's like, hey, the wonder from down under. Ladies and gentlemen, Luke Skywalker, a.k.a. the Last Jedi. What's the problem here? I think the whole movie's talking about him. That's the thing. It's called Luke Skywalker. That's the movie. That's the Last Jedi. That's what we're talking about, kids.
I could see that. I could definitely see that.
Yeah, I don't know why people were overthinking this. I'm like, it's all about Luke. They didn't want to call it that. Something about Luke.
All about Luke.
All about Luke. That's this movie.
What to expect when you're expecting Luke.
Exactly. What? And everyone is talking about it. Just a minute, they're going to kill him. I'm like, no, jackass. That's what they're talking about. How hard is this, people?
I personally think it's about... Luke and Rey, like, because Rey, you know...
What do you know, Peter? Because it's your show doesn't mean you know everything.
I might be George Lucas in disguise. You never know.
Son of a...
And I have to tell you, Mitch, I appreciated your defending me. I really appreciate that.
George?
Yeah, thanks. Sounds like Kermit the Frog, yeah.
I still love the Baker.
The Jedi don't want anything. They just want, you know, barbecue sauce and... That's the Sith are more like vegans, and they don't want people to eat meat, and that's what it's all about. It's an analogy for the political system. Whatever you say. Did the check clear? Yeah. Okay, I'm out of here. Goodbye.
Speaking of the Sith, by the way, what is your? Are you excited for the upcoming Darth Maul miniseries for Marvel?
I'll read it.
I will too. I mean,
I don't care anymore because I've how many? It's like Rogue One. I saw Rogue One. I didn't care about Rogue One.
I liked Rogue One, but it wasn't my favorite. I liked Force Awakens.
I mean, it's like, okay. It's like when you eat something and you forgot you ate something, and then you have a big meal later on and you wonder why you're fat because you go, oh, shit, I already ate something. That's Rogue One. I go, oh, yeah, I saw it. It was really good. Then 3 hours later, I'm hungry for another Star Wars movie, so I'll watch Force Awakens and go, oh, shit, I already saw Rogue One today. What am I doing? That's what it feels like.
I like how Rebels and Clone Wars kind of filled the gap, though, like of, you know, getting that out for you.
I see this.
They need to do more.
You know what? I think it takes away from Luke blowing up the Death Star.
True.
Because you find out, well, there was a fault. It was a short circuit. And if you just tapped it just right, that son of a bitch was going to blow.
And if you jiggle your foot, you might get, you know, like a good reception, you know, for the local radio station.
That's what I thought, too. It's like, oh, Galen Erso, I have laid my blah, 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 blah.
I'm like, doing a radio NPR.
Hey, this is Watto. You're listening to NPR. Here's some Bell and Sebastian.
But, yeah, no, I thought it cheapened it. It's like, oh, I guess that wasn't one. That was one in a million. No, not really. Apparently just had to give it a good kick.
Hopefully we get a trailer, though, on Super Bowl weekend, Sunday. It's not Super Bowl weekend, Super Bowl Sunday, right?
What, the Star Wars trailer?
Yeah.
Oh, really? I thought they were going to wait for, like...
Mike's speculating that.
Like, what kind of trailer do you think we might see this Sunday?
They don't need to. They know they're going to sell a gazillion dollars.
I know they're saying, like, right now there's a possibility they may not be, like, giving a Justice League trailer, which kind of bums me out.
Yeah.
We might get an Infinity War teaser or something.
I think we'll get a Guardians trailer.
Oh, there you go. Yeah,
we might get a nice GoDaddy commercial.
Oh, of course.
You get a Wonder Woman trailer.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's a given.
Transformers.
Man, Wonder Woman
And Spider-Man. I want to see a Spider-Man trailer again.
I want pictures of Spider-Man. I want poems about Spider-Man.
Who are you, J. Jonah Jameson?
Erotic fiction of Spider-Man.
Ooh.
I want pictures. Give me the wall crawler.
I know. What's his name?
He said Justice League might not have a trailer.
What's
though, right?
his name?
It may not have one.
Hmm.
And, you know, there's like a lot of stuff like that that I dig that, you know, the Super Bowl, like that's the only time I'll watch the Super Bowl, you know, because I don't care about football. But like being able to see, I'm not a football. I'm a hockey person, but barely.
Get your shit and get out of here, Melnick.
I'm sorry.
You're in trouble now.
But
there comes that Law and Order sound again.
You can have your picture posted up at Terrificon. Do not let this man in.
Don't let this man in.
Ah, oh, man. But yeah, I mean, like, I'm excited though for like the potential, you know, new trailers. I'm wondering if we're going to see, like, you know, maybe a Blade Runner 2049 trailer.
Oh yeah,
there you go.
Because I'm personally down for that. Like, I saw the first trailer, loved the hell out of that thing. That was fantastic. It gave you like the right elements of, you know, what to expect for tone and everything,
mm-hmm.
and it just worked.
Sure.
Did you hear that Joe Manganiello said that the one little Deathstroke clip thing they released over the summer was test footage?
I heard that.
And what do you think it was for? Do you think it was for the Batman movie, or do you think maybe it was like test footage for Justice League that we don't know he's going to be in that movie?
He could be the big bad in that.
I think he's going to be in the Justice League movie. He was a guy I was looking at getting a guest at Terrificon.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
No, it's weird. I mention his name and people go, oh, the guy from Magic Mike? I know him as Flash Thompson. And other people know him as from True Blood, but I don't see – if Deathstroke doesn't come out till November, it's really hard to sell it. You know, I had Greg Grunberg one year, and it's hard to sell him as the guys in the new Star Wars movie when that movie's not out yet.
Personally, you know? The one that I go with when I think of Deathstroke is Manu Bennett from Arrow.
There you go.
Where, you know, Oliver Queen spent 7 years on hellish island.
I thought it was 5 years on the island.
Whichever one, but it was hellish. That's my favorite. I've brought it up on the show before, but my favorite thing about the Flash and Arrow, that season were the intros, where I just went the hellish island thing, and also Barry, who I am de Flash. I love that. I don't know why. It just makes me laugh. That great story.
You well, apparently only you. But.
It happens. But yeah, I mean,
we could use our old Bill Cosby laugh track.
Oh no.
Okay, never mind. That's frowned upon still.
Yes.
Okay. Anyway.
Wow.
That went really dark.
Yeah, now we brought this show to a grinding halt, kids.
Speaking of dark.
Let's go with light instead. Let's go with Lego Batman.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that one.
So am
Me
I.
Too. Those movies are so much fun.
Exactly. Well, just like the video games are fun. I love that Marvel one. Yeah.
Did you play the Jurassic Park Lego?
No, I did. I did the Indiana Jones. I did the Marvel one. I did the Star Wars one. I didn't do the Force Awakens one.
I haven't played that one yet. The Lego one, Lego Jurassic Park's a lot of fun. You'd probably like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've wanted to play Lego Pirates of the Caribbean, to be honest, because I've heard good things about that. And also Lego.
I don't think we even opened the plastic on that one. The kids
that and Lego Lord of the Rings, just because.
I think it's funny how sometimes like the Lego Marvel games and DC games can get like a better superhero game than they've done in years. Sorry about that. Did you know
no.
A lot of they're going to have a lot of cameos from former Batmans in this movie.
Really?
Adam West, Val Kilmer, Christian Bale. They haven't said anything at Affleck yet.
They're getting a Ouija board for the one who played Batman in the 1940s film serials. Yep. I can't wait.
Hey, speaking of dead people, what do you think they're going to do about Carrie Fisher in the movie?
They're probably, like, I've speculated.
I think they're just going to get another actress. I don't know why everyone's so freaked out about this.
I speculate it's going to be more, they're going to like do an off-screen death in episode 9. It's going to be like, you know, Kylo
really?
The thing. Yeah, I could see that.
I think they're going to have hey, I'm getting on this ship. Boom, explodes.
I think that's cheap. I mean, you got a character who survived all those wars and torture and all that stuff, Jabba the Hutt, and we're just going to make her, you know, somebody crashed into the back of her car and it exploded. She was driving a Pinto. Yeah.
My thing is with her, you know, if they do an off-screen death, it shows how much Kylo is willing to go to the dark side.
Even if it's their plan, though, because a lot of people are saying that he's really not that bad.
Like, that's how I see it. You know, it's he kills her off that way.
I think that her death definitely knocks him for a loop because they said she was, you know, supposed to be a nine throughout it. So
I bet they're pissed that they, what do you call it? That they killed off Jyn Erso.
Oh, yeah.
She would have been great. She could have came back as like the new leader of the rebellion. But she ain't coming back from that nuked Death Star thing. You know, it ain't happening.
Do you think Han is dead for sure or not?
Yes.
A lot of people are speculating he's not dead.
If the fall didn't kill him, the going into that reactor, maybe there was a big puffy cloud and he floated.
Like no, Mario. My best theory was that Kylo didn't kill Han, but he did a mind trick and tricked everybody in the room to think that Han died.
Including the camera guy. Yeah, I mean, like, if you listen to the most recent episode of Joe St. Pierre, he actually gives his theory about why Han is still alive.
Maybe he put the sword under his armpit like you do when you play, you know, when you're like a kid. Like, oh, you got me.
Oh, my gosh. I'm picturing that now.
No.
Poor Han.
I mean, as a diehard
Harrison. I felt bad for Chewie.
Oh, my God, me too.
Chewie's emoted. He was the best actor in that scene.
I have to ask, as a diehard Harrison Ford fan, when you saw that scene happen, how did you feel?
I was pissed.
Because I associate you with Harrison Ford, not just because of your appearance on Comic Book Men, but because you love Harrison Ford. You know, I can, like, it's synonymous.
My heart was pounding on my chest when it happened.
I thought it was you know what? Here we go. We talked about this before. The cynicism got into it. It was not a story element. It didn't serve the story. Ford is very famous for saying he's this a piece of clay. You mold him. His job is to serve the story to get the director's vision. That's what his job is as an actor. That's what he's there for. Bullshit. This was a payday, and Disney had to mortgage the friggin' Magic Kingdom castle to get that son of a bitch to show up one more time, and he only did it because he knew they were going to kill him off and he wouldn't have to come back, and he got the damn paycheck. And that's what I was mad about. So when I watched him up there, he wasn't getting a sword through him. He was putting a pen to a check and endorsing it and laughing the whole way to the bank because he knows. And I'm sure the Indiana Jones movie had to be in play too. They said, look, you do this, we'll make one of those Indiana Jones movies and we'll make it good this time. And you'll get whatever you want and George won't come back. They gave him whatever he wanted. And I knew something was going on when I saw his name before Mark Hamill's on the damn poster in the credits. I go, what the hell? That's the Adventures of Luke Skywalker, not Han Solo and the Sidemen. So he walks on that plank. Ever since Han Solo woke up from that carbonite, he's been a little loopy. And that had to be the loopiest thing that damn idiot ever did. Hey, your mom and I want you to come back. Don't worry that you killed all those crazy people. It's like the parents of a serial killer. You walked into a post office and you killed everybody, but it's okay. You were having a bad day. Come on home. We'll make you some meatloaf and we'll talk it over.
All of a sudden,
oxygen got cut off when he was in carbonite for like 10 minutes and something happened.
All of a sudden, Fuel's bad day starts playing.
Should have gone out in a blaze of goddamn glory. He should have taken the Falcon and plowed it into that oscillator thing and blown up that goddamn star base killer thing, whatever the hell it was, and everybody would have been, that's how Han Solo dies, okay? Not getting the sucker punched by his emo kid that needed a kick in the ass and a job. That's what that kid needed. So, yeah, to tell you the truth, I didn't like the scene.
This is what it sounds like when Han Solo dies.
I thought it was cheap. I loved when he first showed up on the Falcon. I love every scene that he's in except for that part because it just – you know what I did like? I like when Harrison Ford or Han Solo touches his son's face as he's dying. That I'll give you. That choked me up because it's like even though you're a little shit and you just killed me, I still love you. And that – you know, as I was a guy who has two kids – two boys that would stab me in the chest, given the chance, those little bastards.
I was expecting him like shoot him or something, pull his blaster and shoot him in the gut or something.
Finally, I shot first.
Yeah, but no, I thought they could have handled it a lot better. And you're not coming back from that. They're not going to make Kylo Ren pull a Vader at the last minute and become to the good guy like Vader did. Vader killed little kids, okay, but younglings. We still made him a good guy. This guy, there's no redemption. You killed Han Solo. You're not coming back. Not ever are you going to get forgiven from that one.
Ever, you know? Not even if there's a fire.
No. Not even if you save little puppy dogs running out of the pet store and even the snakes like Pee Wee Herman did in Pee Wee's Big Adventure. No, I don't like it. I think it that movie was Star Wars' greatest hits. You want to talk about not liking movies? I don't like The Force Awakens. I sit there and pick it apart all the time because it just placated. They served it up. You knew what you were getting. I understand why they did it. They were trying to restart the franchise. But boy, did they just do some fan service in that movie, man.
I still say the biggest fan service, though, was in Rogue One. Like, you know, when you see a walrus guy and, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. That's another one, too. How big is that damn universe, okay, that you bump into everybody? I don't see. I live in this town. I don't bump into people that I've worked with, okay, that might work with me. Yet she's over there. Oh, look, it's R2 and 3PO. Look, it's Ponda Baba and Dr. Evian, whatever his name is.
I thought you were going to say Walt Flanagan. I'm like, Walt showed up in the Star Wars movies now?
Flanagan was in the movie.
Tell him, Steve Dave.
Tell him, Steve Dave. And you know what? I would have made the best character I like in that film, though what I like is irrelevant to anybody, is the blind Jedi worshiper guy.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever his name is. That's the other thing, too. We're talking about a Star Wars movie, and I don't even know the name of the characters. I freaking know Ponda Baba, okay?
You know Snaggletooth.
I know the most obscure names from the original film because they meant stuff. I know Watto's name, you know? I know Boss Nass from that crappy prequels. We know those names. The new movie? Don't know. Don't care.
Truth be told, the only one I knew was Jyn Erso.
I knew Jyn Erso because her last name was Halleck at one point. I'm like, what? What's this about?
For the record, I thought of you when I was watching the movie. I'm like,
How did Mitch get in there? That's what I thought. I was like, did they just say Halleck? They get on board. They go, Halleck. Lena Halleck. I go, what? What's going on?
Are they talking to me?
Yeah. I mean, who knew that my family came from Tatooine?
Are the people in the movie going to come out of the screen? Wait a minute. They're giant then.
I know. And there was some people in the audience that'd be like, son of a bitch, how did he get his name in this? A shameless plug for Terrificon.
All of a sudden, you see in the cantina a poster for Terrificon.
Exactly. Like, my God, that man is the most brilliant showman promoter ever made, even in a galaxy far away. Okay, here, let's talk Rogue One real quick. What was the point of killing Galen Erso once the Death Star was already built?
Huh.
It's already built.
To make you mad.
Okay. Einstein just milled the atom bomb, him and Oppenheimer. They made the atom bomb. Let's kill them. Okay, they already made one. There's blueprints. What the frick do we need this? We know there's blueprints because they're going to get the blueprints to blow them up. God forbid the Empire has backup and disaster recovery and kept a spare file somewhere off-site.
Well, it primarily strikes back the Empire. They back up, but they also strike back.
Makes no sense, boys. No sense. And they already had the Death Star because according to Revenge of the Sith, they were building it back then.
True, true.
They already had the plans from it. Count Dooku got it from that big bug, Poggle the Lesser. I didn't even know that thing's name. Don't know the name of the blind guy in Star Wars.
What? There's one character I know of in Episode 2, the one who sells Obi-Wan the Death Stick, or tries some of the Death Sticks. Sleaze Bagano. I know that character.
Because we cared. We didn't need to see this Rogue One.
Why do I know a character from Episode 2? I want to know that now.
Dexter Jester. The guy with the pants falling down with the forearms that Obi-Wan goes to his coffee shop. Knew that guy's name. Don't know the name of the big dude with the gun.
Go with a deep cut. It's kind of Legends, but still. The old Star Wars comic from the 70s from Marvel. What was the name of the Green Rabbit?
Oh, Jackson. Come on, man.
See? You knew that character. You know what I mean? It's crazy.
But why did this movie become a huge hit?
Star Wars.
That's what I'm saying. You could have put the name Star Wars on Ice Pirates, and it would have made $1 billion.
This is true.
How did we get into this? What is going on? Where's your show notes? Have we talked about anything that you wanted to talk about? We were talking about Joe Manganiello.
How did we go from Joe Manganiello to Star Wars?
Because you brought it up. You're the driver. I'm the passenger. I'm not flying the plane. You're the PIC.
Well, we can talk about Dwayne Johnson's Black Adam movie.
Why?
Because he says it's going to be like a solo Black Adam movie.
That kind of ties into Jerry Ordway, my guest announcement, since he did the Shazam. Ooh. Very good, Michael. Very good.
Yeah, I got a gold star.
Gold star for you. Go to the head of the class.
You're getting one of those stickers that when you scratch it, it says on there, your grape, and you scratch it, it smells like grape. You got that sticker, Mike. You earned it.
I'm allergic to this.
You get the cherry on top.
And I'm not. But yes.
Did I answer the Harrison Ford question before?
Yes, you did.
Okay.
But anyway, Dwayne Johnson just basically said that...
Nobody cares.
I know.
Nobody cares about Shazam. Nobody cares about Black Adam. You know what the problem is? You know what the problem with the DC Cinematic Universe is? Nobody cares. It's good for TV. You know why? It's only an hour long or a half hour. You can get up. You can turn it off. You can DVR it. I don't care. I'll watch The Arrow. I'll watch Flash. I'll watch Legends of Tomorrow, even though it seems like a bad Saturday morning kids TV show, because it's at home and it's free. But if you want to drag my fat ass out to the movie theater and make me pay $20 and listen to some moron chew his goddamn popcorn behind me for 3 hours and some other kid moan and bone about how he has to go take a leak and the mom doesn't want to go, if you want me to go to that theater, you better give me something better than Black freaking Adam, okay? I don't give a shit about Black Adam. I don't care about an Aquaman movie. Who wants to see an Aquaman movie? If he was in orange and green spandex and he looked like the guy from the Super Friends, I'd be all over it. I don't want to see some big, fat wrestler guy with a beard.
He does look like a pro wrestler.
He does.
He looks like Roman Reigns.
Oh, he's not? I thought he was. No. I literally thought he was a wrestler.
He was
Jason Momoa?
Yeah, he's a Game of Thrones guy.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. But he's not a wrestler. He looks like a wrestler, but yeah.
Okay, and why does he have long hair underwater? What the hell?
That's going to get tangled up and get all knotted.
Seaweed, exactly.
He probably has to comb it the second get... Hold on, guys, hold on. I got to comb my hair or it's going to get knots from hell.
And let's get onto it, okay? Unless you're near a body of water, Aquaman ain't going to do shit, okay? Go rob a bank and be a bad guy in Duluth, in Idaho. Be somewhere that's landlocked. What's Aquaman going to do? Throw a goldfish at you?
Brush his hair.
Go to the Midwest because someone has to.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? If you're an Aquaman villain, you know what you do? You move to a landlocked area. Boom.
Peoria is the perfect place.
Screw you, Aquaman, and your seahorse.
The seahorse he came in on.
That's right. Screw you, Aquaman, and the seahorse you rode in on.
That's what you call this episode.
Oh, what, my
screw
God.
Screw you, Aquaman, and your seahorse you rode in on.
Oh, my gosh. This episode rules.
All right, next on the list, James Cameron.
Joker Fish is looking at me, smiling. Did you like that one, Joker Fish? I did. Yes. Oh, meanwhile, my poor dog Harley's screaming in the next room. She's like, why is Papa yelling? Why?
I know. Man, it's so hard to recover now.
Oh, let's go back to your show notes. Let me try to salvage this thing. Put this mother back on track. Let me see. What do we got here?
I'm taking out the James Cameron one, to be honest.
Nobody cares. James Cameron. Okay, look. Avatar is the number one movie of all time. Why?
Thank you.
Why? Because no one – you want to talk about naming characters in the movie?
Sure.
Name one right now.
Blue guy?
What's the blue girl's name? What?
Blue guy.
Yeah, what's the tall guy's name?
Bluey McBluerson.
Tall guy.
Nobody likes Avatar. It was a stunt. Everybody went to it because it was a gimmick. That's all.
I admit I went because it was a gimmick.
I went to a gimmick too. I took my kids to go see the Super 3D where the little puffballs looked like they were floating around you. I could care less about that movie.
The funniest thing about that movie, I think I've told this story on the show before, but I saw it in its original run. And what happened was an alarm started going off in the theater. I'm like, holy shit, they're really going out with this, all this 3D. They're doing everything.
Didn't they do that in a movie or a cartoon or something? They're sitting there watching a 3D movie and there's like flames coming up on chairs and everything.
But yeah, like an alarm starts going off and I'm like, oh wow, they're really going out with this. And then the movie stops and then they reveal, yeah, just to let you know, someone burned popcorn and we're going to have to evacuate the building. Oh, cool. This is an omen. So we ended up going, leaving, and got like reimbursed free passes for the movies. And I'm like, never even got to use them. But man, it bummed me out, that movie. Like, it was like I watched it on DVD, and it's one of like the worst movies I've ever watched. It's just boring.
It's boring. And he was like, I'm going to make sequels to it. We're going to have a whole Avatar village. Nobody cares. Nobody wants that.
There's
like
an article.
Why don't you make a Black Adam movie while you're at it?
There's an article going around, like, you know, how Avatar made $1 billion and didn't get a fan base.
Yeah. It sucks.
I've never cared for the movie, to be honest. Like, it's...
Nobody cared. No kid goes around playing with freaking Avatar action figures, okay?
It's... Out of all the movies I've seen, it's one of them, you know? It's just bleh. Just bleh, bleh, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well.
But, I mean, I would rather see, you know, I would rather see, like, it was an original property, but it just borrowed heavily from other elements, and it was unoriginal in its execution.
You mean Smurfs and Dance with the Wolves?
And the funniest thing is when I hear people say, you know, it was an unoriginal movie, what you just said, unfortunately, is one of the most common lines, and it becomes unoriginal, but that unoriginality causes unoriginal responses because it's just so nothing. It's like a piece of toast without butter on it. It's bland.
Yeah. See, even talking about it, nobody cares.
It made me kind of mad talking about Avatar.
Yeah, because – and then I was like, oh, well, Star Wars is going to beat Avatar. No, it's not. It's not because they were ripping people off, making them pay $15 to $20 price tags to go see Avatar in the Super IMAX, and that's why it made so much movie. You take that box office and put it down to a normal ticket price of like $7.50 or $8. Bullshit. I bet it's not even in the top 10.
Yeah. I mean – It could have been so much better. Like it was cool to look at.
It was cool to look at.
Yeah, that's about it. And it almost had like level, like when I was watching the DVD version, because I never saw it in 3D. I'm watching the DVD version and it was like screaming levels of Friday the 13th Part 3 with how they're just literally poking a stick at the screen.
Like, oh, look at this.
Like, that's what it was to me. That's what it came across as.
It always kind of makes me laugh when you watch a movie that was made for 3D, like in regular, you know, 2D.
Honestly, like, the only ones that I've never seen Avatar in 3D, but I feel like the ones that, like, did a fantastic job with 3D are Disney with their movies, you know, the Marvel movies and the Star Wars movies.
I can't believe we're talking this much about Avatar.
I know, boy, you could edit this whole thing out, because anybody listening to that would be sleeping.
Yeah.
A lot of editing today.
It happens. It happens.
Swearing. When we started, I said I would not swear. You brought out the beast in me.
Here, Mike, that's your fault. I'm going to blame you.
Sorry.
You brought out the devil in me.
But yeah, I mean.
That's a Doctor Who reference right there.
It is. Ah, man. I'm trying to think. I'm like brain farting right now massively.
Did you eat at White Castle in your mind?
Clearly. But yeah, you know, with a lot of things going on, you know, Stranger Things, Millie Bee Brown.
Oh, there you go. Godzilla segue.
Yeah, you know, they're actually going to be having Millie Bee Brown in Godzilla King of Monsters when it comes out. And Mike and I had a conversation off mic on the car right here about what it could be and, you know, what her role could be. And like, obviously, she's going to be a kid. No shit, Sherlock.
Gadzooki.
Wow.
That is a deep, deep, deep cut of a reference. Holy shit.
Just have her in like a little rubber suit bouncing around. Yep.
When that show was on, they could have been in any body of water, and they could have been in a puddle. They pressed that button, and Godzilla just popped up underneath the boat.
Oh,
what the fuck? What was he? How small? Whatever. I don't get it.
I'm trying to think what she could be. Like, you know, I'm like Mike made a comment, and I'm going with this. I'm latching onto this. She's could be the person that, you know, summons Godzilla, like, you know, like telepathic or something, right?
Most likely. She's probably going to be some obscure, weird little role.
And honestly, this movie could make or break her career, you know.
Unless they advertise her as the top star, then kill her off in the first 10 minutes like they did Cranston.
That was fun.
Oh, God, yeah. What a waste that was.
Hey, look, Bryan Cranston. And now he's dead.
Yep. That he was why I went to see that movie.
I know. I thought he was going to be in it. I'm like, oh.
And Bryan Cranston's probably counting his stacks of money right now. I'd be like, yep, I did Godzilla.
The best movie Bryan Cranston did in recent memory is Trumbo. I thought that was a phenomenal film. Highly recommend if you haven't seen it.
Haven't seen it.
Have you seen it, Mitch?
I don't know what you're talking about. Nope.
Oh, it's about Dalton Trumbo. The
he sits in a bathtub, writes movie scripts.
Yeah, and it's like dealing with he was like accused of communist propaganda, and he ended up getting blacklisted in Hollywood. So as a result, he ended up making Spartacus.
Okay.
So. Yeah, I mean, it's a good film. Highly recommend checking it out. And, you know, the other thing going on is I just feel like if she is cast in this film, Millie B. Brown, could this make or break her career? Because she's mainly known for Stranger Things. And, yes, she was great on that. But how does she do elsewhere?
Dude, she's been in a show that was on 6 episodes. Let's not overthink this. Okay?
Exactly. You know, like
– and she's the avatar of TV.
And she barely spoke in this show also.
I know.
She probably had like 20 lines maybe throughout the series. So, yep. Millie Bobby Brown, folks.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see where this goes, you know? Now, before we go wrap this episode up, famed British actor John Hurt passed away at the age of 77. I'm a big fan of the man. Mike is as well. Mitch, yourself?
Oh, of course. He was Harold Oxley in the world's greatest Indiana Jones movie. I love the guy.
What were some of, like, you know, each of us favorite roles that, you know, Mr. Hurt got to play in, you know, in his life?
I liked him in Hellboy.
I loved him as the
War Doctor. Yeah, he was in Hellboy, yeah.
He was great as the War Doctor in Doctor Who.
He could be
I was
going to
say Doctor Who. I liked him in that, too. Of course, Alien, speaking of like eating bad White Castle, he had the worst one ever. When the thing popped out of his gut.
Ow.
What else John Hurt? He's in so many movies. Hellboy, I forgot about that. Doctor Who, The War Doctor, Alien, Indiana Jones. Was he in
V for Vendetta?
I was going to say there was another science fiction comic book movie. I couldn't remember, but you're right. It's V for Vendetta. And he did some voiceover work too, didn't he?
He did voiceover work for that. They did a Hellboy like miniseries, like a 4-part miniseries.
Oh, the little cartoons? Yeah.
And come on, guys. You don't remember he was also the Elephant Man.
The Elephant Man. There you go. Yes.
And also, he was in the Harry Potter films, you know?
I can't stand Harry Potter movies.
I read the Harry Potter books. I've never watched the movies.
I watched the first movie and I was just bored to tears and I never wanted to watch him again.
And and by the way, once again, you know, you said his voiceover work. I'm on Wikipedia right now. He was in Watership Down, which frightens the shit
out
of people.
There you go. With those little bunnies.
Lord of the Rings in the 1978, the Ralph Bakshi one.
Yeah.
Black Cauldron.
He was Aragorn in that one.
And Dogville.
I never saw Dogville.
I don't think anyone has, but. You know, just like there's so much stuff he did. It's like a storied career, and you know, it's a shame, you know. But it's life.
Yeah,
this is like a really shitty eulogy on my behalf.
Wow, I was gonna say let's honor the man, and it just comes to a grinding halt.
he was young. He got old. He died.
He was that really bad professor in Indiana Jones' last movie. He was the War Doctor. He was good as the War Doctor. I like that little part at the end where he becomes Christopher Eccleston. I like that.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, yeah. Real quick, I was gonna say like a favorite doctor, but I'm realizing that's kind of taking away from John Hurt. So we'll discuss that off mic.
No, my favorite doctor is Christopher Eccleston.
You too?
I love him.
He was the best one. Him? Like, I go with...
Him? And then out of all of them? Like from the very first till now? Or are you just talking about the relaunch?
Let's go with the relaunch and then in general.
Relaunch, Christopher Eccleston, David Tennant, Peter Capaldi. You want me to throw John Hurt in there, even though it was just one show?
It counts.
And then Matt Smith, the last. I can't stand Matt Smith.
I love Matt Smith. That's like we're like polar opposites on that end, man.
Well, maybe it's not Matt Smith. It's the writing of those shows. Here's how it is with a Matt Smith Doctor Who. Great setup. How is he going to get out of it? Cue the music. He runs around. Show's over. I'm like, what? They would paint themselves in so many corners, and he would just like, let's do this, and fizzes are cool. And I'm like, what?
Don't forget fish fingers and custard.
Yeah, I was thinking, I couldn't remember that. And bow ties are cool. Though I do think that his send off there with Amy Pond made me cry.
You too? That definitely did for me. Oh, yeah.
Though I tell you, that send off with Clara Oswald being stuck between a heartbeat, that's a nice little idea.
Hey, man, spoilers. I still haven't even started Capaldi yet.
She was a cutie. I met her at Boston Comic Con last year. Or, AKA, as I know, her, Bucky's girlfriend.
Oh, yeah?
From Captain America. Yeah, she's got one scene. Hey, Bucky! That's about it.
Isn't it insane how many BBC people they've brought over into the Marvel Universe, by the way?
Everybody's got a British accent. Everybody.
I'm surprised, they brought in, Benedict Cumberbatch.
Like Walking Dead.
Yeah.
David Tennant. David Tennant, in my opinion. By the way, Mike, did you finish Jessica Jones?
Yeah.
You finished Jessica Jones up.
I just rewatched it the other night. I was bored. I watched the last episode again.
I'll say this. You don't – do you see the dead body in Jessica Jones of David Tennant's characters?
What's that?
Do you see David Tennant's dead body?
No, you hear the neck snap.
Yeah, and he turns purple for a second.
But I will say this. This is the Marvel Universe where anything
can happen. He's coming back?
No, I think so, because he's
– You never know.
You know what the problem is? I don't like Ritter. Kristen Ritter. I don't like
her. I like her.
I'm torn on her.
I don't know. Maybe I got to get used to her.
I'm one of those people. I said it, and I'll be completely honest. Jessica Jones is actually my favorite thing Marvel Studios has ever done.
Liked Luke Cage better.
I still haven't seen
it. Oh, we're talking TV shows or everything?
Honestly, everything.
Really?
Yeah. That had me, riveted for, the amount of time I was watching it.
Jessica Jones. My problem with the Marvel Netflix thing is, because, I have to have a problem being a fanboy, is I think they have great 8 to 9 episode stories that they drag out for 13. And so far, every one of these things, right when it hits around episode 7 or 8, becomes a snooze fest for a couple shows, and you can throw them out and it doesn't affect the story. And then they come back with a rollicking finale.
I said the same exact thing the other day, with Luke Cage. It's boom, boom, boom. Then you're okay, this is boring.
Where's this going? Yeah, I'm like, who cares? And then it finishes well. Daredevil, same thing. The Punisher one was great because they had that character you could go to when he was in prison. But the first Daredevil, right around episode 7 to 8 9, I was like, I don't care about Foggy Nelson or Karen Page. Who cares? Get on with it.
I have to ask, when you were at New York Comic Con, did you attend the Iron Fist panel?
No. I was at the Jessica Jones one. I was at the Daredevil one. I did not go to Iron Fist this year.
I was at Iron Fist, and the preview of it was fantastic.
I liked the comic book Power Man Iron Fist, but after that, I never got into him again. I think I only liked that because John Byrne did some of it. I love Byrne. Byrne's my guy.
All right, so before we get going, let's see. Once again, Mitch, major, major thank you for being on today's Here program.
You actually like this? Because feel bad thinking about it, going, wow, I just screamed and yelled for a while.
Those are the best kinds. You do know that. Those are the best kinds. Because it's showing the passion. It's showing the passion behind your love of this stuff. It's the best. That's the best thing. You want to have that.
I do. I go home, and I am home right now. But I think about, let me tell you, doing these cons drives me nuts. And you could talk to anybody that I know, because I don't stop talking about this stuff. If you guys ever want to talk about guests, call me up, and I will go on for hours with you guys about who's a good guest, who's not a good guest, who do people want to see, who don't they want to see. Because you're always trying to top yourself, You want to make yourself better than the year before. And every year, people are like, this show's terrific. Thank you. That's why it's called Terrificon. So it's hard to be ultra terrific. You know what I mean? What can you do next? You hit a home run. Okay, hit 2 home runs, hit 3 home runs, hit 4 home runs, hit 5 home runs. Now you're going to go for distance. How far is that home run? So it's really crazy. So that's why when you get me on these shows, I'm manic and I start yelling and screaming and ranting and raving, because I got so much freaking pent-up nuttiness towards this stuff, I can't stop.
I mean, you're doing, this is building up to a year of, you getting each year, you know what I mean?
I know. I'm like Santa Claus around the workshop.
And the funniest thing is the day after the con, you're already, getting ready for next year.
I already got stuff for 2018 already,
Holy shit.
So I got, and then get GamerCon in the middle of it.
That I cannot imagine. Like the stress, you know, that must
stress.
Be.
Yeah. Especially when you pay for all this stuff out of your own pocket. If it don't work, I'll be sleeping on your couch.
So now, Mitch, before we go, how can people get a hold of you on social media?
Oh, my God. I'm like a bad penny. I always turn up. Little Indiana Jones reference that I still don't understand. You could see me on, or hear me on the IndieCast, speaking of Indiana Jones, every other week. That's the IndieCast.com. It's been on for 10 years now. We talk about everything besides Indiana Jones. You could follow me on the Raider.net, the world's only Indiana Jones official website. You could listen to me on the Power Cosmic podcast with my friend John Cimino. You could go to my conventions, GamerCon at Mohegan Sun, April 1st and 2nd. And I post stuff there every day on the page, the Twitter, the Instagram, all that. And of course, it's CT GamerCon. CT as in Connecticut's terrific. GamerCon, GamerCon.com. And the Instagram is CT GamerCon, the Twitter CT GamerCon, and Facebook is CT GamerCon. That one's easy. Terrificon, Connecticut's terrific Comic Con. You can follow me on Twitter at It's Terrificon. Like, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's Terrificon. That's where that comes from. And that's on Instagram as well and Facebook. And I might be at your house. You don't know. It's I could possible. Be stalking you. I might be. Where else can you see me? I'm on other podcasts from time to time. So just listen to me. Put your ear to the ground and you will hear me.
Very cool, well, sir. Very cool. So now, once again, before we go, go to www.gunnageek.com and find a plethora of other geeky goodness for your ear holes, along with this here fine program. Also, go to www.patreon.com/audiblyexquisite. And you'll help support the show for as low as $2 a month or $50 a month. And you, once again, through a tiered program with lots of rewards, including newsletters and the ability to guest on this here fine show. Also, find us on Facebook at facebook.com/audiblyexquisite. Give us a like ski on there. Find us on Twitter at the AE Podcast, myself at Peter Melnick.
Mike_Norin.
You can also find us on Instagram at
Audibly Exquisite.
You can also find myself on Instagram at Peter Melnick. Mike, yourself?
On Instagram?
Yeah.
At Mike.
You're not on Instagram?
I am, but I don't know my Instagram name.
Okay, anyway. You can also find us on the worldwide interwebs at www.audiblyexquisite.com. And finally, rate, review, subscribe, and share on iTunes. Spread the word like Nutella. Let people know about this show. And you can listen to this show through a wide variety of streaming and downloadable platforms, including TuneIn Radio, Stitcher Radio, and Podomatic. Available again for all iOS and Android devices. So once again, major thank you, Mitch. Yep. Wonderful having you on.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be had.
Very and terrific at that.
It's terrific. It's terrific.
So once again, Terrificon. Has what's Terrificon's website?
Terrificon.com. That's TerrificOn.com.
And one last time, when are the dates for Terrificon and GamerCon?
Terrificon happens every August at Mohegan Sun in Uncasville, Connecticut. This year it'll be August 18th to the 20th. 3 days of nonstop Comic-Con fun at the Sun. That's Terrificon, Connecticut's Terrific Comic-Con, August 18th to the 20th. And the first ever Connecticut GamerCon. Win up to $2,000 if you're good at Smash Brothers or Street Fighter at our first ever two-day gaming tournament. Dungeons & Dragons, Magic the Gathering, you name it. We'll be playing it along with video games like Street Fighter, Super Smash Brothers, and so much more. Now on April 1st and 2nd, no fooling, April 1st and 2nd at Mohegan Sun, again, located in beautiful Uncasville, Connecticut. That's it.
Very cool, sir. Thank you once again for being on.
Thanks, Mitch.
Thank
Wait,
you.
What do we boys. Do before I go on blah, blah, blah?
So for Peter Melnick, I'm Peter Melnick. Mitch?
I'm Mitch.
And I'm Mike Norin. Have an audibly exquisite week.
Wait a minute. Wait. Pump the brakes on this, Mike Norin. You're just Mike Norin for today?
Sponsored by audible.com, Mike Norin?
We are. For Mike Norin, I have to pee real bad, so I'm trying to end the show.
Have an audibly
exquisite week. Thank you.
Bye-bye.